It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Buzz, let me ask you a question.
All right.
Out of all the women that work here at Station, how many would you like to see naked?
We came up with three. I won't mention them by name, but we came up with only three that we think would be interesting to see naked.
Man, I'd like to go down the employee list and make sure. I'm going to guess it's going to be around three. Let me look at the employee list to get back to you, but I know, you know,
yeah, it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of two or three.
Jot them down, and then, you know, if you haven't asked, you know, if you actually have four...
Yeah, I'd be curious to know who that fourth is, because I think it's highly obvious of all the women that work here at the station. And I'm not going to say anybody's names, because that way all the women that work here can think that they're among the three.
And if you mean totally naked, we were talking specifically,
right.
You know, the chest area, but I will tell you right now.
Totally naked.
Totally naked, that I would modify my list. I would go, no, it'd still be three.
Yeah. Now, I'd still have the third one on it, third position.
See,
it would be interesting to see what she looks like naked.
If it's totally naked, then it changes the whole perspective.
Just from the front.
Okay.
Just from the front. You wouldn't have to see the butt.
Right. Well, I'm thinking now. I'm thinking because, you know, when you said that, it changed it just a little bit. And so,
all right, here's how I'd rate them.
Okay. Are we doing? I'm not going to. This is just the women. I'm not doing it in order of priority.
Well, either. I am.
Okay.
All right. There's my top three. In the order I'd like to see them, top and bottom. I'd like to see them naked.
Okay. Yes.
In order?
In order.
From number one to
all the way down.
Robbie, did you rate them?
I did. Well.
Do you agree with me, or would you put them in a different order?
That's about right.
That's about right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me see your list. I can only come up with one. Maybe I have an old list here. I don't know.
Only one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Were you a homo?
No, I don't think so.
Well, press it up against the wall.
Yeah,
write it down, Buzz.
My pen is disappearing.
Okay, let me take a call while Buzz is figuring that out.
But give all the ladies that work here a little self-esteem.
No, I think so. Yeah, no, my list is up to four now.
Wow. You got a four? Oh, come on, you're goofing me.
No, I've got a four.
You're goofing me.
No, in fact, I've got five.
Oh, you're totally just trying to give me an alarm.
No, if it's totally naked, out of curiosity, I've got five. And
hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hold on
just a second.
Let me see my list.
You'll have to...
I don't know the names of all the salespeople.
Number...
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Do you mean the...
Yeah. What?
I'm
very dangerous.
Yeah,
what we're doing here.
Different.
Rob, Buzz, talk for a second.
All right. I'll get the microphones off.
Don and Mike are now consulting each other about the women who work at this radio station, and they're ranking the ones they think they'd most like to see naked, partly out of curiosity. Partly out of attraction. Okay, I cleared it up there during...
I would still go with my three. I have no desire to see your number four and your number five, although you have five legitimate choices.
Yeah, just,
there.
I mean, totally make it. Now, I just had to...
from the front.
Five, yeah.
I'm up to two. Only two of us.
Two.
At her.
Who is she? He's got to give me more than that, Rob.
Right,
here we go. And, of course...
Okay, now wait a minute.
There you go.
Who's the second name? I wish I knew the people that worked here. Who's the second name Buzz has? Is that Mike's number five?
An account executive.
Buzz?
I think so.
No hands.
No, you're wrong with the name there, Buzz.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think so.
No.
Maybe we're talking about the same one.
Yeah.
I think we might be.
Yeah, I think you are.
Yeah. I think we're talking about
What's her name?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Well, no, we're not saying names.
No, no, Rob is writing me a note. You know, I don't even remember who she is. This is her nickname we have for her. Who is she?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, all right. Wait, no.
Who is she, though?
I'm writing your name down. Hold on a second.
Well,
I don't want to blurt it out.
Rob just showed me her name.
Look.
I didn't know that was her name.
Of course she's
on
my list. That makes my list. That makes my list.
She's number three on my list.
That's number six, right? Not six on my list. She's just added to the list.
All right, I got four then. Four ladies that work here that'd be interested to see what they look like naked.
It's getting better all the time, and I'll tell you something, the Christmas party never looked better.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm missing a couple obvious ones here.
Hello, okay, what do you want to talk about? Hello?
Don, you used to crack me up when you used to name all your cable televisions because you're so obsessed.
It's not cable, it's satellite.
Well, now you got the satellite. Can you name all your satellite?
467.
What?
Not a viable channel, Brian.
Yeah, he's trying to trick him that way. Just ask me a channel. Ask me a network.
Oh, no.
204.
This isn't a pop quiz.
204 CNN headline news.
You used to start from channel 1 when you had the cable.
Oh, let me see. 200 is previews. 202 CNN. 203 is Court TV. 204 headline news. 206 is ESPN. 207 ESPN News. 208 is ESPN 2. Damn it. 212 is TNT. 213, Home Garden TV. 214 is Shopping Network.
Mm-hmm. No,
is it the Food Channel?
Yeah.
214 is the Food Channel.
Yeah. I knew that one.
217 is E! Exclamation point.
Well, hold on. I can't concentrate on this now. We're doing a bunch of women.
Listen, I know them all.
Just to see the list.
No, I'm all set, Rob. I got them all. 910 is HBO.
Right.
920 is Showtime. 940 is the Movie Channel. 930 is Skinamax.
I want to say it's impressive that you fly and skip right to the next major premier network,
yeah,
as opposed to, boring us with HBO 1, 2, 3, 4, Family, Western. No, I mean,
right.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
HBO is 910. HBO 2 is 911. HBO Signal. Signature is 913.
Wow.
HBO West 914. HBO West 2 915. HBO Family 916.
This is very scary. I was giving you a compliment and then he went right into the list.
Rob, number 198 is the Johnny Carson pay-per-view channel.
Yeah, bravo.
Rob just held up number 198.
What is playing on DirecTV this month? In what order?
Okay, the first pay-per-view is City of Angels. The second pay-per-view is Wild Things. The third one is My Giant.
Right.
The fourth one.
Ah, damn. Did My Giant just go on there? Did they start My Giant?
Just went on yesterday. Players Club. It's a black movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, all black actors.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new one on pay-per-view. Also, you have Mercury Rising, Primary Colors. These are not any particular order. The Big Lebowski, The Borrowers, The Barney Movie.
Right.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Rain Man.
Wow.
Well, there you go, sir.
Hush.
You cracked me up.
Hush? The movie?
Yes.
Yes.
This is like way down there.
Yeah, no, it's in the first 50 channels of pay-per-view.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, right. I should have had that. Damn it. I'll study tonight, Mike.
Study up on it today.
I'll study. See you later.
Thanks.
All right, goodbye.
Buzz, you got your final list?
With the list I have to work with, this was the best I could do. I have three.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't have a couple that we have on there.
Well, I'd like to see your list.
Yeah,
maybe you change with our list.
Yeah. Buzz has three women on his list of the girls that work here.
And I, being the evil man of the group, I have a total of six.
Wow. I got four.
Yeah.
I got a solid four.
Halfway through the Christmas party, they could go up to 10.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
I had to call you. Your show was going a little too slow. I wanted to tell you that I can suck my teeth myself.
Hold on.
Babe, hold on a second.
I hope you said teeth as in a cow's teeth.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
So you were thinking the show was moving too slowly, so you wanted to call and suck with yourself?
Yes.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is... Do I have to say it?
Well, your first name. Now what do we know?
Diane. And the celebrity I most resemble is my girlfriend, Mindy.
Who?
Mindy.
Who? Mindy? Mindy who? Mindy Cohen?
Yeah. Wow. A slimmer version.
Now, who are you talking? I mean...
Yeah, that's right. Mindy Cohen.
From The Facts of Life?
Is that why you said Mindy? Because I always talk about Mindy Cohen?
Yeah.
See, do you really look like Mindy Cohen?
No. A slimmer version.
A slimmer version of Mindy Cohen?
Yeah.
It's like one of those oxymorons, isn't it? A slimmer version of John Goodman. It doesn't work.
Okay, well, sure, I'd be interested in hearing that.
I'm sitting at my desk at work. I don't think they'd let me look now.
Oh, then why'd you even bother to call?
Because I knew you'd want to know there's some people out here that can satisfy themselves.
Yeah, well, thanks for saying the show is moving slow, too.
I satisfy myself all the time. I mean, I don't do what you do.
But God knows, if guys could do... You know what I mean, the old Monica?
Oh, yeah.
Guys would be doing that constantly if they could.
Your jaw would be out of place.
All right, see you later.
Bye-bye.
Call us back when your boyfriend Kermit shows up.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Is this me? Oh,
yes.
Hi, guys.
Yes,
hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
It's hard to tell when it's you. Well, I just called without an agenda, but now when I called, it was timely, but now it's not timely. So I'm not trying to be a bad caller. I was on hold a while.
Liam, I believe
that's okay. I appreciate the fact you're so defensive about that.
And I believe that we have developed a real complex in our listening audience.
Good. You can talk about anything you want.
Okay. Well, I wanted you guys to ask me the dumb girl question. When I called in, you guys were nice to me last time. I was the radioactive pharmaceutical delivery girl, and I don't do that anymore, but... I had such a good call with you guys the first time. I've, you know, been telling all of my friends and talking.
What is the capital of Florida?
Let's see. Tallahassee?
Very good. Correct. Excellent job.
Who was president in 1976?
Carter?
Correct again. Good. You're just blazing through these.
How do you spell the word awkward?
A-W-K-W-A-R-D.
You passed my dumb girl quiz. Fantastic job. All right, now here's the tough one for me. What are you wearing right now?
Green overalls and white...
I'm sorry, you flunked on that one.
Fashion police had to call it on that one.
Oh, they're really cute, though. I have a very big butt, so they just look great.
Well. Is it as big as Mindy Cohen's?
No, heavens no. It's perfect.
A big ass and green overalls. Mm-hmm. What could a guy ask for?
Oh,
what
you more? Love it. You just don't know.
There's nothing like a big ass and a pair of green overalls. Nothing like an ass and a pair of green overalls.
Look, just because I don't look like a whore doesn't mean it's not cute.
A whore?
A whore?
What do you mean, a hoe?
Yeah, I'm just...
I'll be honest with you, you know, this call is a bit of a bore.
No, you guys.
Okay, goodbye. Hello, Don on my show.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Does Christine do that ad for adult.com or whatever it is on
the internet? Yes, yes. Yes, she does.
You enjoy it?
Oh, man, I get a Woody every time I hear it.
Okay, it's working, man.
I bet she'd be on your list, wouldn't she? Hello, Don on my show.
Is this me?
Yeah.
Hey, your smart girl there is not so smart. Jimmy Carter wasn't the president in 76. He was elected in 76. He wasn't the president until 77. And I have an agenda item. It's sex. Please get back to sex. We love sex. Naked women, breasts. On butts.
We had a woman that was offering to play with her breasts, but she said she didn't want Mindy Cohen.
We were going in the right direction there. We got to get back to that.
That's okay.
That's why we like.
Goodbye.
Hello, Don on my show. Hello.
We want to get back to sex.
I don't mind talking about the women that work here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's do another list.
Okay.
Donald.
The three women. Hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
The three women you would least like to see naked.
Easy.
That work here.
Okay.
I think we all know who number one would be.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, how quickly these names come to mind. Hold on.
Three women.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the number two, inactive. Sorry, your number two choice. All right, Mike.
Okay.
Here are my three choices. Okay, I think number three. Excellent choice on your number three.
Thank you very much.
You know what? I would like to see her naked.
I know you would.
I'm curious. How about my old number three choice? Did you have her down?
Oh, no, but then you should give us at least four then. That's the only fair way.
Rosie, let me see the list of women that work here that you would least like to see.
It's a work in progress, but here's what I have so far.
You're missing the obvious number one choice.
Really? Okay, well,
number one. Look at this list. Let me see your list again.
Hold on that list for a minute.
All right. Do you believe him is the obvious number one choice?
Is the first one on his list one of the last ones on our...
No, it's the one that you have.
Oh, okay.
Okay. From the third floor.
Then I agree with his... you are missing the obvious, though, Buzz.
Okay,
it's a very, very easy choice.
Give me the Jeopardy music. I want to see how long it takes Buzz to come up with that.
All right.
Wow. Buzz, you have to go through a list?
Yeah, I do, because I can't, I can't picture everybody.
Just think of the people that you see around the station every day.
Right. He's going to the paper. He's writing something down.
Who's the obvious number one choice?
I don't know. I mean, I thought I had.
If you don't come up with it, it must mean that you would like to see that person make it.
Well, that's possible. You never know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Keep killing me, Buzz.
I think that's it.
That's okay.
So you've written down two more?
Yeah, I've actually revised my list. This is my new list.
Oh, gee. Yeah.
You're so wrong.
Yeah. Really?
All right, hold on. Give me a fresh index card, Robbie.
Fresh index card so we can pass that along to Mr. Burbank.
Somebody show me who I'm missing.
Oh, here, I got one right here. Hold on.
All right, here we go. You'll get it right away when he shows it to you.
Or I'll disagree.
We'll see. You won't disagree?
Really?
If you disagree, okay. You are gay.
Okay, let's see. Oh, I'm sorry.
what was I
thinking?
No apology necessary.
Oh, right.
Let me scribble that in.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Now Rob throwing index cards around the
building. Yeah, still up there.
Yeah, I was wondering, when's the last time you heard from your buddy Dick Van Patten?
Not since we crashed his house about 2 months ago.
Well, if you turn to ESPN2 on the World Series of Poker, he's a color commentator, buddy.
Man, that is worth tuning in. When is that on?
It's on right now. I think he'll play it again later on tonight.
Didn't somebody call a couple weeks ago and say that Nels or Vince Van Patten was also on that show?
Yeah, I think so. The Van Patten's big into poker. And, the next time we're in Los Angeles, we really... That has to be...
Oh, that would be fantastic to play poker with the Van Patten.
Poker with the Van Patten.
Okay, one last call. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello?
I hear breathing.
This wouldn't be one of the women that works here, would it?
Yeah, and all of a sudden you hear this tiny voice in the background going,
I'm going to kill you.
No, the great thing is because we've mentioned nobody's names.
Right.
Who knows?
No, nobody knows.
For all I know, all the women around here think that they are on the list of the three women that we would like to see naked.
And our list will be incinerated at the conclusion of the broadcast.
Yes.
Big bonfire.
Somebody's call up?
That was somebody calling on the inside line.
Oh.
Like an employee.
What's going on?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Last call. Hello. Something wrong with the phones?
Yeah.
I think so. Hello.
Hello. Do you have caller 100 yet?
It's just line number 4 that's on the fritz.
Oh, sorry.
No, we haven't done the call in yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Try back. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I'm taking notes for Mr. Mele.
Now we do have to do a break. Then we're coming.
Right back.
The Don and Mike.
Okay, Lewis.
Thank you, Don. Last night, after we got off the air,
yes,
a guy called and identified himself as a police officer and said that if Lewis showed up,
right,
to heckle Good Morning America, that he would be arrested.
Please.
Now, I don't know if anybody told you this, Lewis, or not.
Charlie did after the fact.
Right. Well, we did some research and we found out, of course, it's not a real police, but they have real important stuff to do.
Right.
It was a freaking campus police.
Oh, one of those rent-a-cops over there?
Yeah, right. Some guy like, Moose on French should have told you, park is closed.
Oh, come on, no way.
So there was just a little added extra pressure on Lewis that he didn't even know. We thought that the local runner cops would be out to get him this morning.
Oh, you're heckling. What's that? That's no big deal.
Right, I thrive on pressure anyhow.
Good.
I don't care.
You sound tired. Are you tired, Lewis?
I'm a little bit beat.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all right. I'm still really
tired.
Up there.
Good Morning America, broadcast live this morning from the University of Maryland, College Park. Now, what time did you have to arrive on campus?
I got there about 5 this morning.
5 a.m.
Yeah, just to make sure. I was there the entire show. I just had to wait for the right moment.
And it wasn't until 8:40 East Coast time.
Oh, that's right late in the show, huh?
It was getting down to the wire.
Did you have moments before that where you were thinking about going for it and then you held back waiting for a better moment?
I had to wait it was weird because I needed to wait to make sure I did it in a right segment where it would be all right and a crowd wouldn't turn against me because I did a segment with about the gay kid who got pummeled in Wyoming and then I did a segment about drinking on campus.
Yeah, good.
You can choose.
You showed some judgment there. I got to admit, as I was watching Good Morning America this morning, I thought, oh, I hope you don't scream out about the gay guy that got beat up in Wyoming. So you exercise some judgment. What we're going to do now, we have the audio, but we're going to actually show you the video here.
Very good.
Turn the TV on.
Okay.
And this is when the doofus host, Kevin Newman, is walking through a crowd of students.
Right.
Okay. Now, Lewis, we need that microphone over here. Your microphone.
Okay. Lewis is bringing the microphone over to the TV so we can get a good look at it.
Hey, cool. Spider-Man's on.
Don, you're a big fan of Fox Kids, aren't you?
Yeah, Mike.
I know who you are.
Spider-Man.
TV. I appreciate the rescue, but I'm just a little tired of weird men making unscheduled appearances.
I love Spider-Man. He's so cool.
What's your favorite cartoon?
Who is that?
The Batman.
I like the Batman cartoons the best.
I'm embarrassed to say, I used to...
I think that's his girlfriend.
He seemed nice enough at first.
His girlfriend, Peter Parker's girlfriend, who doesn't know that in real life he's web-slinger. Spider-Man.
What?
Look at him. He's sitting up there just like a spider.
I don't recall him doing that at the
I don't think this guy's going to give up. You'd better take...
Hold on.
There's a tape in there already.
Be around if you need...
Very low-quality Zenith television almost destroyed there for a second.
Where's Eject, Robbie?
Oh, there. Yeah.
There it is. What's that? EB have something in there?
Relation not red.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Ready? Here we go.
Thank you.
Good Morning America.
Hey,
commercial.
All right,
it's
coming
commercial.
Up back to the commercial.
It's
okay.
Sunday, November 1st on ABC.
This is a shot of a bunch of college kids brushing their teeth.
Good Morning America logo. And they wonder why they're lowly rated.
You know, when I went to school, there were men's residences, there were women's residences, and there was one co-ed dorm. But it is now the norm on most college campuses across the country that dormitories are co-educational, except in one state. There's one state that
Hold on. Campus. Let me stop it. You gotta get his reaction. Because Lewis absolutely stops this guy. He's walking through a group of people.
All right. Lewis, you could not have done this any better. This is beyond anything I would have ever expected on this show. I didn't think this was a show where you could pull this off.
Most college campuses across the country that dormitories are co-educational, except in one state. There's one state that stands. Anyway, there's one campus where there are co-educational facilities, or where they are banned.
Right? Look at how flustered that nerd is now.
This is what he found.
All right, now, Lewis, grab the microphone there for a second, please.
Oh, Lewis, good job, man.
Explain to us everything that happened. Now, you never got on camera, right?
Yeah, I saw a head pop out, man.
Oh, I didn't see. I might have to watch that.
Hard to see with all the other co-eds there. They're kind of thronging around the guy.
So you scream out, Don and Mike, McCree, and then this guy, Kevin Newman, he stops and his head's on a swivel.
It was so loud. It sounded like you had your own microphone.
Yeah, much like the Jerry Seinfeld.
So you just waited and picked your spot. He must have been right on top of you when
you
did that.
Have you guys seen the movie with Al Pacino when Keanu Reeves, what's it called?
Devil's Advocate, right.
You know, after he gets out of that trial and he's walking down in Chinatown with Al Pacino, and Al Pacino's like, do I look like the master of the universe? Be the little guy, right.
Be
the guy they never expect. That's who
Don't
I am.
Don't let him see you coming.
And any live television host that's out there, you better watch out, buddy, because I'm coming after you!
Now, nobody that was there figured out who you were, right, before time?
Ahead of time? And after the screaming, what happened? Were you...
Yeah, what was the reaction?
A lot of laughing, a lot of people going, what did you say? What? And a few children were trampled. And then I simply turned about and walked into the field, into the morning sun.
All right, hold on. Here's a guy who was there.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this might be the guy that gave us the tip yesterday.
Uh-huh.
The Good Morning America was coming to the University of Maryland. Is this Brian?
Yes, it is.
Brian?
The one who called yesterday to let you know about the taping.
Brian, if Buzz was here, he would give you $1.06 for being our news tip of the week.
Thanks. I wanted to say congratulations to Lewis, and I also wanted to say that I didn't have any classes today, but I got up at 6 in the morning anyway to go down there. And if you watch when the band is on, if you look behind the drummer to the right, I'm holding up a bright yellow sign that says Bueno Arbusto Don and Mike.
Oh, really?
Wow.
It was kind of hard to see, but if you're looking for it, you can find it.
What time was that on it?
It was towards the end when they had the band playing.
All right. We'll turn it back on and take a look at that. What was the reaction from the students at the University of Maryland after Lewis screamed out our names?
I was actually down the field, so I didn't hear it at all. So I didn't even realize he was there. But when I turned on the show today, I realized that he screamed it out.
What'd you say there, Lutard?
The staging area was really spread out over a big amount of acreage there.
You picked your spot, man.
There were thousands of people there, kids all over the place.
He came about 10 feet out of his shoes when he did that. I had no idea.
That is the job you were born for. Okay. Let's hear it again now. Isolated, Lewis attacking Good Morning America and giving us that much-needed national publicity.
There's one thing that stands.
Victory!
Okay. I have no idea what he's saying. Anyway, there's one.
You keep going after that? You keep going a little bit after that?
What are you screaming after you said Don and Mike McCree?
You're doing your usual,
I think it was Westwood One, Don and Mike, yeah. Something like that. Let me describe for you the second before you do something like this.
Right.
When you know that the camera is broadcasting nationwide.
The adrenaline pumping?
Actually, it's this weird sense of calm. It really is. And then
you're a nut job, man. You are nuts. You're out of your mind.
You're a psych job, but that is the perfect job for you. And, Lewis, the good news is?
What's the good news?
You've almost worked your way back into our good graces.
Yeah.
Way to go.
That's great to hear. It's nice to be back. It really is comfortable here.
You're still annoying, though, man.
You're still annoying.
You're butt annoying.
But he's less annoying when he pulls something off like that. I'm absolutely amazed. It's the first time I saw it. I
Brian,
can't believe it.
Thank you for the tip, my friend.
Okay, you're welcome.
Good man. Thank you. All right, let's see if we can see that Bueno Arbusto banner.
After about 10 minutes past, we're ice cream.
All right, Louis, swing your microphone back up there again. Spider-Man's still on, Doc. Because we'll watch the Louis tape again. Spider-Man's cool. Well, fortunately, I'm taping it on my own at home. So
you watch it most of the weekend, right?
Now, hold on a second. We just missed Liz. Let me rewind it here. Okay, this is Kevin Newman walking through the crowd. And take a look at the double take he does in Louis.
Oh, he jumps.
I went to school, there were men's residences, there were women's residences, and there was one co-ed dorm, but it is now the...
What'd you say to me? Is that your face, Lewis? Is that you?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't hear you. Hold on a second.
All right, so your head comes into the picture when you do it?
All right, hold on. We'll take another look, then.
Oprah Winfrey presents David and Lisa, Sunday, November 1st on ABC.
Great, Louis.
You know, when I went to school, there were men's residences, there were women's residences, and there was one co-ed dorm, but it is now the norm on most college campuses across the country that dormitories are co-educational, except in one state. There's one state that... Okay.
There you are. There you are, real life.
God damn it, that is so on mic.
He's right next
to him. There are co-educational facilities, or where they are banned, I'm sorry, and we'll tell you which one that is in a minute. But get a sense of what life is like. Undercover. And this is what he found.
I am amazed you were so here.
To take the microphone back.
There is Louis. I just saw him over to the right with his hands clasped over his mouth with
a little megaphone.
So on microphone with that. How did you manage that, Louis?
Hold on.
I'm sorry. I was about 2 feet from his chest, and I just yelled directly into his, like, heart cavity where the lavalier mic was. And, of course, he probably felt the bass thud in his chest with the sonic boom and stuff.
Well, I tell you.
You've done good.
I mean, it's just that's hard to do, and you pulled it off.
You've done good.
Unbelievable, but true.
All right, let me fast forward now and see if we can get to the part where someone's holding up a sign. So
great. You've got a little time down there on the side.
8:47. All right, there's a band. Now we're at the commercial. Hold on, let me take a call here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Baldy.
What's happening?
We're just watching the tape of Louis screaming out our names on national TV.
Yeah, I know. Hey, look, I've been trying to get a hold of y'all for 3 weeks. This is Johnny Lafayette.
Yes, Johnny.
About 3 weeks ago, I was at Talladega International Speedway, and I know y'all are not NASCAR fans, but I was holding up a 6-foot by 3-foot sign that said Don and Mike Rule. I got a videotape I'm sending you.
Well, please do, sir. That's good. Okay. This will be our quest.
I just want to let you know that, man. Hey, there's a lot of fans out there, stock car fans, that like y'all.
More exposure, the better. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We do appreciate it. You know what's disheartening, though, is that now this is the second time that Louis has legibly and audibly screamed out our names during a national television program.
That's true, John.
We haven't received the call getting the three-picture deal.
We're waiting, and, you know, maybe it happens, you know, for a three-picture deal, maybe it has to happen three times. Louis has to do it one more time in a proper area, and, all right, now we're at the band. We got
the band.
The band
playing.
I don't see anything.
He said it was behind the drummer.
Is that a yellow sign right there?
There are a bunch of yellow signs. But he said it's right behind the drummer over to the right.
All right. Well, it's going to be almost impossible to make it out. Everybody's got signs over there.
Trying to see. They're doing the,
Well, now there's a yellow sign right there.
Is that it?
Hold on, let me go back and freeze it on that. Well, this is not too vain, is it? Freeze framing. Good morning, America. To see if we can make out a sign. All right. Yeah. I'll freeze it right there. What does that say? Does that say Donna Mike Bueno Arbusto?
It says, merci, blue, blah, blah.
It looks like it does to me, Don.
It's almost impossible to make it out, isn't it?
Well, very difficult.
I get this to stop pausing. There you go.
He said it's right to the right of the drummer, so that would follow. That's where it's supposed
to be. That was a big yellow sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be over in that area.
All right, well, enough with that. Lewis?
Oop, it was almost closer there.
Oh, really? Oh,
I'll turn it back on.
See, it's right there at the right, but he's...
Okay, hold on. I'll rewind the tape a little bit.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I see
what
it works.
I see what you meant.
It was really clear.
Right there?
Yeah.
I saw that. You know what? You're right.
That might be it. I think it was. Okay, we'll rewind it. I didn't quite make it on.
You only see the B in Bueno.
Yeah.
That's it right there.
Right there.
That's the sign right there.
It's a big sign.
Bueno? I see the B in Bueno. Now, if we give it a little longer, I don't know if it comes back into the shot.
All right, we'll stick with it.
All right.
We'll stick with it.
We're doing our close-up of the dancers.
Where's a wide shot? Oh, there. Huh? There it was. Did you see it?
No, I missed it. I missed
it
again.
Hold on. All right.
Look,
there it is. There it is.
Oh.
He did it. Hold on. Now I'll freeze it. Now we'll definitely be able to see it. There it was. Hold on. Here we go. Oh, man. It was clear as day on there.
All right.
That's the people dancing.
We're going to do another shot here.
And hold on. There it is right there. Oh, no, I didn't freeze it by any time.
Push.
Damn it. It says Bueno Art Booster.
Hey, they're in the camera line. We might see it again, you know?
Up there!
There it is, Bueno Art Booster. You got
hold on. Hold on. That's the best ever, isn't it?
Okay.
Take a look at that. All right, now, is that going to get right the close up of the singer?
There it is.
There it is right there.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's great. All right, one more time. Oh, there's another shot of it. Actually, another shot of it.
I was on TV a whole bunch today.
Bueno Arbusto, Don and Mike.
And there it is again.
He's got a good spot.
You know, that is very noticeable.
All that guy has to do is move over to his left a little bit, and that'll come into the shot.
There's a shot of a band playing some swing music.
All right, now here it's going to come up again.
There it is. Hey.
Now give it a little long because, I mean, the song's still going on, so who knows whether it'll come back into the shot again.
All right, let's keep watching it. If that guy just, you're right, if that guy moves just to his left.
He moves a little bit to his left. They're doing a lot of different shots.
It'll get on again. It should be on now. There it is again.
Okay, now move over to your left, buddy. Come on, keep on.
Oh, no, don't put the camera on that guy. Now another worthless shot of college kids dancing.
Oh, this guy does not work the stage very good.
Doesn't he realize that he moves just 6 inches to his left? We're going to get our names on TV.
Come on, move over a little bit. No, he's incapable. His feet are planted to the stage.
Well, I thought we were going to get it.
It was just
on for a second. There's a couple of shots where you can definitely read it.
Yeah,
there's
one where it's clear as a bell. Oh, there he goes. Oh, no.
Oh, I had it upside down, you idiot. Oh, you had the sign upside down.
Oh, your arms get tired.
Oh, they finally gave him a beautiful shot. It was upside down.
That would have been the perfect spot.
Well, if anybody's watching this show while standing on their head today, we just got a good shot.
No, they're still... It's the clever camera angles that they're trying to do.
They're trying to be like MTV.
You picked the right color, though, yellow.
Who would watch this?
This is Good Morning America.
You know, maybe that's why we didn't get the three-picture deal, because who watches Good Morning America?
No, it's because this is only number two, and number three won't happen until Monday, so sometime next week, you should be signed.
You sound very confident about your assault on Monday Night Football, Lewis.
Listen, if it takes the... I'm telling you, I'll rush the stage.
There it is.
I got it. Oh.
There it is, from an aerial shot. Well, it was just
there
coming
was
up
again.
There.
And now they're going to break. All right, well, that is the latest Lewis assault on national media.
Wow, way to go, Lewis.
Lewis?
Great, yeah, hi.
Great job.
Terrific, really. Great
job. Let's hear it one more time,
Lewis.
And then we will kick him out of here. One more time, Lewis the retard.
You know, when I went to school, there were men's residences, there were women's residences, and there was one co-ed dorm. But it is now the norm on most college campuses across this country that dormitories are co-educational, except in one state. There's one state that stands.
Victory!
Okay. I have no idea what he's saying. Anyway, there's one campus where there are co-educational facilities.
Oh, you idiot. Great job, Lewis. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, of course. Great job. You have earned the opportunity to come on the show next week and have us rip your radio tape to shreds.
Oh, great. I hope that doesn't happen, though.
Is that what you wanted? Did you want the chance to come and play your tape on there?
I just hope that you listen to it in an objective way, you know, because really, I don't think it sounds that bad. I think it's
all
right. Good. But I don't know. That's
I think
I want to bring
need,
it in.
I think you definitely need to go get some sleep.
You have earned the chance to come back and bring one of your hideous disc jockey tapes. So, listen, your book next week is a guest on this show.
Oh, fantastic.
Great job, Lewis.
Hey, you want to know where you can listen to me in Washington?
All right, I'll give you a plug where, Lewis.
1600, the big WINX.
And what time is your DJ show?
And check me out tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at that time. And then a Sunday at 8 o'clock, and then some during the week. As
6 to when? 6 to 1 on Saturday night.
Rockin' Midnight.
Well, the big 6 to midnight shift.
Top 40, 1600, WINX.
All right, get out of here.
Thanks, Adam.
Get out. Good luck Monday.
There he goes. I'm by Lewis the retard. Get out of here, Lewis. Mission accomplished.
Gotta give him his props, man.
It's the second completely accomplished mission.
The guy is annoying.
Yes.
The guy gets under my skin.
Sure.
The guy, I really think, is partially retarded, but you must give him his credit.
You gotta give him his props for this because he, you know, it's, I didn't think on a show like that he would have a chance. He picked his spot. Way to go, Lewis.
So funny.
Unbelievable.
Okay. I have no idea what he's doing. Anyway, there's one. You've done good, Lewis.
Way to go, Lewis.
You've done good, you idiot.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show. Sports 1140.
Worst phony thing you ever heard in your life.
And they play the same songs every week.
Woo!
Working for the weekend.
Yay!
I don't want to work. I want to bang on a drum all day.
Yippee! Friday, but we're still here.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight. And then I think every once in a while, they would give, they actually had a contest for the office person that showed the most enthusiasm.
Right.
They would get a beer.
Yeah.
One beer.
One beer from the Station Six Pack for 40 employees.
I love a Donnie Mike show.
Your 5 o'clock whistle, baby.
Ooh, tell your boss to shove it, man.
Good times.
Come on in, staff. Come on, secretaries. Come on, interns. Let's pretend we're having a good time.
TGIF, baby.
Hello, Donnie Mike show.
I listen to Imus in the morning, every morning, you bloody bastards.
Oh, I'm going to find you.
Yeah,
I'm going to find you.
We're going to feed you your dog.
Hello, Don and Mike.
In hamburger
form. Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How come you guys cannot put Strip Trivia on pay-per-view?
That is something we're working on.
Please do.
We're working on it, sir. But, you know, before we do something like that, we have to make sure that it would be available to all 61 markets that we broadcast to. And that's a lot of work to get cable systems in every single market.
But don't you worry. You know, we have we actually have a record of all of our Strip Trivia contestants. And you never
know. Thank you very much.
Rob, is my microphone plugged into the phones? I don't think it is.
Well, you guys give good radio.
There you go, Mike. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, we're going to get them all. I think we should have a tournament of champions and bring back some of the better contestants.
I know Jessica would be there.
And so would Vanessa.
Yes, Vanessa would definitely be there.
And so would Beth.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
I'm going to get in trouble if I keep reciting all the contestants that I know.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
Got a quick question for you guys.
Yeah, Walter.
Basically, I hear on the radio quite often that you guys don't want any input from your viewers or your listeners, rather.
That's correct. Correct.
Okay. My question is, why wouldn't you want to listen to what your viewers or your listeners have to say?
That's what everybody else does. Got you there, don't I?
Well, I don't understand.
Well, listen, who do you think knows better how to do the show, us or you guys?
Well, I mean, what are you guys trying to be like Howard Stern or something? I mean,
no. Now listen, you're losing your argument there. Don't bring any other disc jockeys into this. We know the type of show that we do, and your radio's up too loud, also.
Okay, that's down. That's no big. I just, you know, I mean, also about this party on a Thursday night. Basically, why wouldn't you guys have it on a Friday?
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
By the way, something, what do you care?
Well, because maybe I'd like to go out there, but I, you know, a lot
no,
of...
No, just because you can't go out there. What, your mommy doesn't let you go out on a Thursday night? What's your problem?
Nothing like that at all.
You know, they're well over 1,000 people that manage to post when we do them on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Thursdays.
Yeah.
Right, well, I mean, I assume 75
same thing. Listen,
Nash is into work, too.
We make all the decisions about this show, about what we do on the show, about where we go out, about when we go out. I'm really sorry, that we don't consult with you before we make decisions on this show.
And let me explain to you the way the bar business works in case you don't know. You see, on a Thursday night, you're not going to normally, under normal conditions, get the same kind of crowd you would on a Friday night. That's why they bring us in there.
Well, absolutely.
You see, doesn't that make sense? You moron?
No, that makes sense. Absolutely.
That makes sense.
Yes, that makes sense. But I'm just a guy that doesn't know a lot, but I just like to whine.
Hey, how come your viewers, I mean listeners, how come you don't want the input from them, man?
Precisely this is the reason we don't want the input.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Doesn't make any sense to you?
You're saying everybody else does it. Who's everybody else?
Listen to any other radio station where they say, we care what the listeners think. The difference is, they really, all those stations that say they listen to listeners,
they really don't listen to listeners. We think, why should we lie to our listeners and tell them that we do listen to them when we don't listen to them?
And we know we're doing the right thing. It's called ratings. That's how, that's our feedback.
About your number one too, but I
yeah, we are number one. Would you like to try to dispute that?
Well, you're number one in what, evening drive time? Is that what it
yeah.
is?
P.M. drive, correct.
Oh, okay.
That
okay.
would be the only time that we can be number one because that's when this show is on the air. You moron.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you agree with that.
All right.
Are you number one at what you do?
Absolutely.
Really? What do you do? Is there any standard in which you're measured against all others in your field?
Sure, absolutely.
And what is that? What do you do?
I install computer systems for the government.
Yeah.
No loser.
And you mean to tell me that of all the computer installers, incidentally, it's a nice happening job.
And the award for the number one computer installer goes to Lester Poindexter.
You're the best in the whole country.
No, absolutely.
All right, then you're the best in Washington, D.C. No, is there some documentation of that?
And in my company's book, and that's all that really
in your company. Well, listen, we do a job every day against not only all the other markets we broadcast to, but just here in D.C., there's 60 different radio stations. 60 different radio stations, and we're number one out of 60 people, and it's a friggin' fight to be number one.
No, I agree with that. I mean, well...
Right, so don't...
I mean...
Don't you give me a hard time, you idiot.
You guys, and I'm not calling to basically, you know, fight with you or whatever.
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, you are.
Morning for Stern, and I never heard of you guys before I moved here to Maryland. And I'll tell you, I listen every day.
Of course you do. This is a great show.
You guys make me laugh my ass off.
Of course we do.
Not 100%. I just had a couple questions about it, that's all, because I'm, you know...
Why should we listen? I appreciate the fact that you listen and you recognize that this show is great. But why should we listen to some idiot like you telling us what to do?
No, it's not that we're telling you what to do, but, you know, I mean, in my opinion, just like in a lot of instances, I mean, you would take into consideration what the other people want.
No, you wouldn't. First off, it's very subjective. Whatever you like or you don't like, someone else might like or might not like.
Sure.
And right? You see, and what I said before, and I wasn't just saying the ratings because we're number one. I was saying the ratings because that is our barometer. That tells us how we're doing. That lets us know if we're on the right track.
And we get ratings every single month.
So we, we watch that, and that is how we tell what's going on.
All right.
You know, we don't base it on a... And you know something? When you see a radio station that comes out with a TV commercial, we asked you what you thought. 9 times out of 10, that's a station that's going down the crapper.
And no doubt, they're trying to
furthermore,
get on TV.
And furthermore, they don't really listen to what the listeners say. So why should we come up here and blow smoke up all our listeners' asses and go, listen, tell us what you want? No. That's why we have the job, because we know what to do. We know that at the end of a long day, people don't want to hear the same crap every day. They want to just laugh. They want to forget their problems. That's what we do.
Good enough, guys. Thank you very much.
Right. Go to hell. Friggin' idiot.
And the award, we're the finest computer institution for the federal government goes to.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, buddy. You gotta waste way too much time with that jackass.
Oh, listen, that's the only... You know what this is like? This is like dogs urinating on their territory.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not giving...
That's the only way you shut guys like that down, because... They expect that they'll say something. As soon as they say either Howard Stern or Imus, or they say you guys suck, they expect that they're going to be cut off.
Right.
So we always give them enough rope to hang themselves.
We linger.
Always.
Well, guys, I'm not... This is...
Are you on a speakerphone?
I am. You want me to pick up the handheld?
Yes, please. It's so...
I'm so sorry.
So unpersonal.
No, you're not.
Gentlemen.
What?
I don't care, but I missed something from the show. The Halloween friends you guys used to play. I have one.
Listen, you obviously are not listening enough, sir. They're on the show all the time.
He was playing his own little tape. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I call it trouble with a capital T.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, just to the morons who keep calling you guys and, like, offering up their little critiques and their improvements for the show... Just blow them off.
Listen,
don't realize.
Please, you know what you're doing when you tell me to blow them off? Again, you're telling me what to do.
No,
I take all calls on this show, whether they're positive or negative.
Don, my only point is...
What?
I don't think they understand that there are millions of people listening
who enjoy you guys. And if we don't agree with every little bit of the show, then we're still listening.
I should point something else out to you here, that there are lots of people also that enjoy wrestling with idiots. They like to hear that. That is also the method in the madness of putting these people on the air. They like to hear it. That's the whole thing of live calls.
We take all kinds of calls from all kinds of people. If all the calls we took were positive, or if anytime someone wants to bust our balls and we just hung up on it, then we might as well put in the morning after our names, because we're one of those jive disc jockeys where everything is prepackaged.
More than any radio show in the country, this show every day, it has more calls, random, spontaneous calls without topic every day on this show. You'd get that more than anywhere else, and it's something that most people couldn't handle. We handled it on this show.
I'm not afraid to be honest with our audience. I'm not afraid to get mad at our audience, because these are all the same emotions that real friggin' people have every day. I give my audience the benefit of the doubt that they are smart enough to know when I'm in a bad mood, or Mike's in a bad mood, or when we're in a good mood. We're just like anybody else, man.
And I think that...
And anybody calls to give us crap, they're going to get crap right back.
I think that's what makes it so damn compelling.
Right. Okay.
Good.
Great. Then goodbye.
God bless you.
Goodbye. Jesus. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don, Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Well,
I call it trouble with a capital T.
We're doing great.
Hurry. Hey, I just want to give you a shout. Radio God.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You know, when I said we take more spontaneous calls without a topic, I kind of made the calls sound better than they really are. I shouldn't have done that.
Keep killing me.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just want to tell all those jackasses that are telling you how to do your show.
Okay, listen.
Don't like it, go to Russia.
Okay, listen. Here's something else, though. When everybody calls in to say that they don't like all those jackasses, that's as bad as the jackasses calling.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get just a nice fresh start, right? Like, perhaps even, we'd even entertain, no, we wouldn't. I was going to say we'd even entertain a compliment about Lutard, but no, I don't think so.
That'll be crazy.
That'll make him go even more nuts.
Hello, Dynamite. Last call here, because we have to clear the lines, and then we have a special surprise coming up in our next break.
Good, good, good.
Hello?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, we're great, thanks.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Hey, if the Indians are an F troop, were to form a football team with the Germans or Huggins Heroes, could they beat the Redskins?
Now, why did you direct that to me?
Because you know everything.
Because I know everything. I still ask you, why did you direct that to me?
Because you're Mike O'Mara, the listener's friend.
That was yesterday. I certainly heard about that call, too. I certainly hope we don't get another call like that. I have no idea.
All right, good morning.
Thank you for calling, though, Agarn.
Goodbye.
Who says I'm dumb?
Listen, anybody has questions like this, just please... Mike in the office.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I got one thing before we get on with the show, and this is going to be a little repetitive, so bear with me. But it has to be done, I think.
Okay.
We have to use our forum to discuss this. The guy from the Washington Post, I got to bring this up. This has now become a ritual. When I come into the office on Tuesdays, I go to the fax. Well, I go to the fax machine every day. It's one of the many duties that I have when I get. I'm in a routine when I get to the station. I come downstairs, I check the fax machine, I check the email, I check with Rob, I check with the people downstairs, and I go upstairs and wait for Mike. And then, you know, we kiss and rub each other down and stuff.
Absolutely.
So I go to the fax machine, and now it's a regular thing on Tuesday, mm-hmm. where somebody goes online at WashingtonPost.com, when the Washington Post's idiot of a radio reviewer, Frank Ahearns, goes online and has a chat.
Right.
Okay. Well, of course, most of the questions that are on this online chat end up being about us. We had talked about this guy with his column where he mentioned, well, he said monster ratings in the men category. And our complaint was that we were number one in everybody. It was in the category you call persons. And we were bitching a lot about this because we really feel that the guy didn't give us our due. And, you know, at least let everyone know the facts. That was our main issue.
Listen, you know, I know everybody knows this, but just for the record, it's quite a coup in the radio business to be number one, 12-plus among all listeners. Mm-hmm. It's quite a coup, and it's quite unheard of for a show like ours to be at the absolute top of the heap. And frankly, we were a little miffed that this guy omitted that.
We're pretty proud of this from
really
this column.
Right,
we're very proud of this, and you know, we want people to know that, especially the people that are responsible for it, people that listen to this show, because you know, it's your success as well, and we're happy about it.
So, this guy, he starts his chat today, I guess at 12 noon or 1 o'clock. Sometime in the mid-afternoon, he starts his chat. And he writes about boring stuff about liberal talk shows and the country music station. The third question is from Steve in Sterling, and he writes, "Yo, Frankie, it seems to me you present stories with personal bias. The rating story last week omitted some important information on the number one rated radio show in the D.C. area. You neglected to mention that the Don and Mike show was not just number one in men 18 to 35, but first in all demographics, even beating out Howard Stern. Are Don and Mike on your S list because they are open about the wacky radio biz?"
That's great. I love this.
I love
this. Hey, man, you're calling the guy out.
Now, here is his answer. Listen to this spin.
Yeah.
And before you listen to the spin, let me tell you the truth.
Right.
The truth is that in the ratings, we're number one
right.
in the category people, men and women combined.
Right.
We're number one. There's no gray area about that. We have a 7.1 share. That's undisputable.
Yeah, right. You'll talk about our track record in the male category. I know you're going to talk about that, but you know, this is everybody. This is the overall rating for Washington, D.C.
So that's a fact. And here's the answer that Frank Ahern's gets. Again, the question is, how come you didn't write that?
Mm-hmm.
He writes, "Hey, Steve, Don and Mike were, in fact, number one among men among the ratings category called, Don and Mike, in fact, were number one among men and in the ratings category called persons, which means men and women together. But they were not number one among women."
See, now, this is a guy that is playing a game here.
Yes. Now, I don't know if this is too inside, and we'll try to explain this to you.
Yeah, it's very tough to explain how it works, and we always have to be careful when we do
when
that.
The ratings come out, they come in three categories. Men, there's a separate category for men in all the ages.
Right.
Women, there's a separate category for women in all their ages. And then there's the together category, men and women, persons.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are not stretching the truth by the least when we say that this is the number one rated show among all people. Because among men and women,
right.
we are number one with a 7.1 share.
Right.
He goes on to say that we are not number one among women. And he lists a couple of stations who beat us in female demographics.
Now, this is a guy who has spent a bit of time very carefully finding a category where we are not number one, because as we mentioned, I think we're number one in 46 out of the 62 categories.
Yeah,
is that
right,
what it was?
Right. My news stories, such as the rating stories, are hopefully devoid of such commentary. Don and Mike are not on my ass list, or on any list for that matter, and the fact that they spend 20 minutes talking about their ratings every time they come out strikes me as being a little self-indulgent. But then again, it's their show.
Okay. Yeah, so he doesn't have any axe to grind, but listen to the way he answers that question.
So let's go to the next question.
Not bright enough. As smart as he thinks he is not bright enough to conceal his malice.
Let's go to the next question, because it's someone else who busts him on the exact same thing. "Hello, Frank. How can you write that Don and Mike are indeed number one ranked among all persons, men and women, then in the same breath claim that they are not number one with women? I believe I understand the ratings categories. Men, women, and persons, men and women. If Don and Mike are top rated in persons, meaning men and women, that statement stands alone. I think I understand why they rave on about their ratings. Even reading your online text today, it's loaded with qualifiers. I know you have editorial choices to which questions appear online. Please post mine and answer." And then he writes, here's his response. "Check this out, and this will be the final word on Don and Mike ratings today because it's getting boring."
That's what he said last week.
Right. "I am looking at the most recent Arbitron ratings book. For the category women, 25 to 54, Monday through Friday, 3 till 7.
I'd like to point out, that's not all women. That is singling out a specific demographic of women. I think it's important to mention that there are lots of little, subcategories here. He found one. He did a little research. He said, where are they? Oh, look.
"For the category women, 25 to 54, there were 8 shows that received better or equal ratings to Don and Mike. The top 3 afternoon shows among women of that age were WRQX, WASH, and WHUR. That's hard Arbitron data."
Mm-hmm.
Now, that while that is true,
he doesn't answer the question.
But the truth of the fact is, the hard Arbitron data about men and women together is the fact that we are number one rated.
Right.
And he picked one category
mm-hmm.
in which he found that we were not in the top 5.
Right.
And that's the category that this prick decided to trumpet in his online column.
Mm-hmm. Right, naturally.
By means of explanation, I did a little research. And I found out that among adults, men and women, mm-hmm. aged 25 to 54, which is the target demographic for every radio station. In the last 3 years, we've been number one 9 out of 10 times.
There you go.
We've also been number one the last 7 books in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Now, among women 25 to 54, we're a solid top 10 performer.
Right.
Among men 25 to 54, and this is the balance that this prick doesn't give you.
Yeah, he doesn't give you that, and he doesn't, mention the fact that that's what this radio station is designed for. And, when we get the persons overall, it's fantastic because it means that not only are we succeeding in the demographic that we are supposed to succeed in, but we're going into another area, and we're very happy about that.
He just won't address the fact that this show is the highest rated show mm-hmm. among any show, and, you can go through and you can nitpick and find a category here or a category there that we're not number one in, but the bottom line drop dead fact is that this is the highest rated show in Washington, D.C. morning, midday, afternoon, or night.
That's it. I mean, that is the fact.
Any time of the day, any show, any station.
Anybody else does this, I swear to God, anybody else, and I mean this, and I'm not saying this lightly here, anybody else pulls this off, and this is going to be on the front page. I mean this. Not the Washington Post, not with their agenda with us, and not with this prick.
Okay, so he picks the category of females, 25 to 54, as way of showing that we're not number one in women.
Right.
Even though the ratings, the overall ratings, men and women, 12 and over, we are rated number one. Men and women age 25 to 54, we are rated number one and have been rated number one 9 out of 10 ratings books.
Absolutely. There you go.
Then you go to our target, which is men 25 to 54.
Right.
He doesn't mention this. He writes, among women 25 to 54, we were rated 8th in the market.
He finds the demographic. He finds the category. He finds one of the categories where we're in the top 10 and we're not number one.
Can I point out that among men 25 to 54, the polar opposite of the category that the prick runs online today, we have a pretty solid record of success.
You might say so.
I'm going back 6 years now because the ratings come out 4 times a year. Out of the last 26 ratings books, we were number one 24 times among men aged 25 to 54.
Right.
24 out of 26 times.
And he mentions the fact that we talk about the ratings. The reason we talk about the ratings is because, the very reason we talk about it is because we know that our listeners aren't going to find out from any other source what the truth is unless we talk about it. Because,
that's right.
we probably wouldn't talk about it as much as we do if there was some outlet that was letting you, the listener, know what the real truth is.
And the thing that's a pisser is it's one thing for this guy to spin and manipulate in the newspaper.
Right.
But I love this, that our listeners are attacking him online.
Our listeners are very astute when it comes to that. I mean, and that's what I loved about these emails, because it really showed to me that they are on top of the situation, and they're calling this guy on it, and he can't stand it. It's killing him.
Really sharp. The fact of the matter is, among all listeners, men and women, which is the barometer that is used in the radio industry, mm-hmm. this show is rated number one with a 7.1 ranking.
Right.
That's a fact.
Yes.
And among men and women, 25 to 54, we are number one with an 8.9 share.
Right.
Those are indisputable facts. Now, you can go through and you can say, well, you know what? In women 25, 54, they're only number 8. That wasn't the question
right.
that was asked.
Right.
The question that was asked is, how come you don't print the real ratings in the newspaper?
Yeah, and how come you didn't give us credit where credit was due for one of the most successful ratings books that we've had in this show's history?
His biggest piece of crap is this answer right here. Hey, Steve, Don and Mike were, in fact, number one among men and among the ratings category called persons, which means men and women together. But they're not number one among women.
So the fact that he writes the sentence that way is he is diminishing, with that sentence, the accomplishment that this show has achieved. And it is just astonishing. If this guy for one second is trying to pretend that he does not have some axe to grind, he does not have some agenda,
it's not working.
I think all you have to do is just listen to the facts that we're giving you, and you will understand what we're up against.
And I'm reading the rest of this crap here, and it's obviously, it's all the disc jockeys in town who suck this guy's ass,
mm-hmm.
who call him up and tell him he's great, because he writes great stuff about everybody else.
Right.
He writes about a disc jockey that was just fired on WMZQ with a 4.3 share, mm-hmm. and he writes that those are good, solid ratings.
Right.
He writes that Jim London, that big fat tub of goo, just got a job, and he was number one in 13 ratings books.
Right.
Really? I'd like to see documentation of that.
I'd love to see that.
Because what he's writing is number one in a certain category.
Right, and he can throw these numbers around all the time. Radio stations do it. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. But, I mean, when we're king of the hill, I'll tell you right now, it's something where we just would like to get our due. And if we're not going to get it in the Washington Post, we're going to let you know on this show because we feel it's the only way to do that. Especially when he's got his website. And not only is he misrepresenting this show in his column, but he's doing the same thing on his website.
Oh, there's a couple more about us that are not necessarily have to do with the ratings. Let me see. Somebody writes, Frank, what is the big announcement about Don and Mike? They are trumpeting for February 28th. Inquiring minds want to know. On a related front, I heard them bitching about your column, as they love to do, about how you didn't print the fact that they were the number one overall rated afternoon show, as you did for the morning shows. They also spewed about how their share was higher than the top morning show. Is that true? If so, why don't you print that? And here's the answer. Hi. WJFK is not spilling to me in advance what the big announcement is. I don't have any idea what it is. But here's a guess. Don and Mike announced they're going to switch their show to an... Is that word? Erudite?
Erudite.
Erudite discussion of contemporary affairs framed against the paradigm shift of their culture from a postmodernist to a retro-colonial one with naked babes in the studio.
Yeah.
And yes, they did score higher ratings than Howard Stern.
He can't just answer the question when you pin him down on it.
It's killing him, and that's when he decides that he's going to do the bookworm speak because he feels that our listeners will be turned off by that and that he will be combating our listeners with that. But our listeners are much brighter than that, and it's not going to work. It is so transparent. It's like so many of these guys. I am astonished that the succession of reporters for radio in the Washington Post, it almost seems as though one has been worse than the other.
Hey, Robbie,
it's amazing.
Call the Washington Post right now and ask Frank Ahearns if he would come on the air with us.
Okay.
Because I'd like to see if he knows how to read a ratings book.
Mm-hmm.
If he knows what it means to be number one in total audience.
Which is something we are so proud of this.
Sure.
Everybody here at the station, the radio station itself had a great ratings period. We're all very happy with this, and it's just so frustrating.
Okay, here's one more. Here's one more about us. And the guy writes, this is the final thread about us. Ah, Frank, I have finally seen the light. Your last response about Don and Mike said it all. Yes, Frank, we all know you went to college and you can string together a few sentences with large words that will send most Don and Mike listeners scrambling for a dictionary just to figure out what you were talking about. But I am a Don and Mike fan, I did go to college, and I did understand your last missive. Therefore, I can see that you are a petty, jealous man who cannot stand the fact that a huge majority of people just want to be entertained. Oh, no, the masses are not listening to public radio. Damn, Don and Mike. And then here's his response.
Right.
I have no problem with Don and Mike. I think they run a professional-sounding radio show that is frequently entertaining and appeals to a large audience.
Oh, he is a dick.
I don't care that they regularly rip me on the show. I realize what they're doing is only entertainment. That would be a lesson well learned by some of the fans of the show.
Hey, Frank, if you're listening, this isn't entertainment. This is personal.
Who see media conspiracy at every turn.
All right.
Okay, listen.
No, just at his turn.
You're absolutely right. This is not fodder, you pot-bellied freak. This is about if you want to be a big man in your column and a big man on your online column and on the Internet, and you want to spew numbers, why don't you come down here? And let's read the Arbitron rating book together.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you stop misleading people, okay? I don't care that you want to ignore the fact that we're number one, that you don't want to print that. But how dare you mislead people with this crap in your online column?
Oh, it's horrible. It's nasty.
Because he never answers the question. I mean, that's the point of this whole thing. And yes, there is a conspiracy in the Washington Post against us. There's 100% chance there's a conspiracy.
You know what I'd love to read in that online chat room? I would like to say, hey, I think they're jerks. I hate them. But yes, they are the most listened to show in the city.
That's
what I'd like to say. But he'd never do that.
To be honest. He doesn't have the balls.
No, he doesn't.
He's either biased or ignorant. And he claims he's not biased, so that just leaves ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie, what's he saying?
Thank you, Frank. He's not there.
Yeah, that's the modus operandi.
Computer, no doubt.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well, he was just on the computer at 2 o'clock today.
Sure.
Do we have a home number for him?
I don't.
Why don't you check with the producer and see if he has a home number?
Very good.
Frank Ahrens, I know you're listening right now with your pants around your ankles. I dare you to call us up.
Yeah.
Are you man enough to call us up and let's talk about the ratings and talk about what the ratings really are?
Just say you hate us. I feel a lot better.
I'll say,
much better.
I hate you, Frank Ahrens. Hi, Charlie.
I like that shirt.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I know you're a Nike man.
Mine's smaller, but I have the same one.
I'm aware yours is smaller.
What do you want?
I just got off the phone with Frank.
Yeah?
And he's not willing to go on the air.
Why?
He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to become part of the entertainment.
Yeah. Oh,
he's afraid. But he did say he would like for the four of us to go to dinner.
Oh, he's F you. Why don't you call him
that? That game is over. We've been to dinner with every one of those jerks.
Why don't you call that gigantic pussy back and ask him if he knows what number one 12 plus means?
Okay.
Would you please? Would you call him right now?
I'd love to get that answer. What he?
Would you call him from the phone right back here? I'd love to hear. Number one 12 plus means number one among all listeners,
right?
Men and women age 12 and over.
And if you think we're being petty with not doing the dinner thing, let me tell you something. We've had lunches and dinners with these guys forever. You cannot trust them.
Listen,
doesn't work.
He's a big man behind his computer. I promise. I will not edit him here.
Mm-hmm.
Anything he wants to say to our audience, I'd let him say. You're a big enough man to be part of the entertainment when you don't have to be held accountable for it.
Right.
When you can hide behind your computer, you ugly freak. It's real easy to hide behind a computer, son.
Our offices are at 10800 Main Street.
You know, you would think, well, you don't want to be part of the entertainment. Too bad you're part of the entertainment.
That's right.
You're part of the conspiracy.
Yeah.
So the questions are, does he understand the concept of being number one, 12 plus, and does he understand the concept of being number one, adults, 25 to 54? That constitutes being number one in the ratings.
This is a huge and amazing accomplishment, and if you hadn't explained it to the listeners, they wouldn't know. You on the phone with them, Charlie?
I'll try you back again.
Later. I decided not to answer the phone, of course. And they're right there. There's the crux.
Sure.
That is, you have just gone down to the chewy center of Frank Ahrens of the Washington Post.
Absolutely.
Listen. Listen, you needle-dick little prick. I'll give you ample opportunity.
Right.
Open forum.
Mm-hmm.
Right here. I don't want to have dinner with you. I don't want to sit down and break bread with you. You disgust me. But I will give you an open forum to say anything you want about us or to refute any of the statistical data that we are throwing out.
He can't do that. He can certainly refute the fact that we think he's got an agenda and an axe to grind because, you know, that's in his head. When you get right down to it, that's inside of him. And he can lie about it and he can refute it. But I'll tell you, it seems pretty clear to me that there has to be some sort of agenda because everything this guy has written about this successful ratings period for us has been in diminishing terms and has been in a way as to slight us and in a way as to just water down what the accomplishment is. And I think it's obvious. It's transparent.
He just skates around the truth.
It's ridiculous.
Someone writes him, how can you claim that they are not number one when the ratings show that? And his answer is, he picks a category that doesn't include all people.
Right.
He picks a category that is specifically women aged 25 to 54.
Mm-hmm.
I say to you, you bald-headed prick, there are 46 categories out of 62 where we are number one in.
Right.
What about that? I guess that doesn't count.
No, I don't think so.
No. He doesn't have the balls to come on the air.
But I'll tell you something. I feel good about letting him know. I really do. I feel these. I hope that that our listeners are indulging us right now as we purge ourselves because you know something? It's a necessary evil. And, it, you know, Mr. Ahrens, if you believe that this is for entertainment, no, buddy. It's personal.
This is real. And I also want to tell you something. Listen, I mean this man to man. And I'm being very liberal with my use of the word man when I refer to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is man to eunuch speaking right now. You being the eunuch. Anybody who had a set of cojones would want to come on the radio. If you feel about your stand as strongly as you appear to in print, you would certainly be man enough to come on this radio show, which you love demeaning and which you say has no audience,
right,
to stand up for yourself. I'm throwing down the gauntlet. Open forum. I'll turn my microphone off. Just answer a few questions.
Sure.
Do we agree that 12 plus is a rating of all people, men and female?
Mm-hmm.
Do we agree that 25 to 54 is the money demographic and is representative of male and female demographic?
Right.
Do we agree that our show is rated number one in both of those categories? Do we agree that it kills you that we're number one in those categories and you won't ride it?
There. There's where we'd run into the roadblock right there. I think you probably you would have to agree with the first two things because it's the truth. I mean, it's the statistical truth. That's what it's measured by.
What a pussy.
You can't argue with that.
I tell you, if you're killing me right now, if I was sitting in my one-bedroom loft with the smell of my own body cheese coming back.
With my oily beanbag. And I'm not talking about his real beanbag. I'm talking about the one he's sitting in.
Huh? Coming back in my hot, sweaty, hairy nostrils. And I was listening to this on the radio. I'd be pissed. You know what I'd do? I'd be a man about it. I'd call up.
Not going to happen.
I'd call up. I wouldn't sit there with my finger up my nose and say, oh, I'm not going to be part of this entertainment.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I would have stayed home.
Big man.
Yeah.
He's a big, big man. He loves writing about National Public Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Loves writing about all the disc jockeys who beat him off.
Please, you jerk. You're disgusting.
You really are.
This is not entertainment.
Right.
Not entertainment.
Not at all.
You're a jagoff,
Patooey.
I mean it. How does it feel, Frank, knowing that you'll never be number one in your field? You'll never be the number one reporter at the Washington Post. You're an errand boy. You're Kathleen Graham's lap boy. Please, Tony Kornheiser pees on you. How does that feel, Frank, knowing that you've already reached the top, and the top for you is somewhere at the bottom of the barrel? No chance to accomplish anything. Oh, sure, you might get a byline maybe if McCain comes to town. Ooh, that's a feather in your bonnet. You'll never see a Pulitzer Prize. You'll never know the feeling of being number one. You'll never know what that feels like. Never! You'll never know what that feels like. But I know it, because I got the numbers! Right here. And you know what, Frank? You got them too. And it kills you. You look at those numbers and you go, oh, God damn, that Don and Mike show. That's a juggernaut spinning out of control. Christ, they're popular. Oh, Christ, I wish I was as popular as they were. But everybody hates me. Except the weasel disc jockeys who kiss me to get their names in my column.
Please.
Frank, number one 23 out of the last 25 books. Number one 24 out of the last 26 books. Number one 9 out of 10 books in a row. Please. That's consistency.
Right on, you freak.
Right on, you freak. I dare you to call! I dare you!
But no, you won't.
WWF has nothing on this show.
That's right.
This ain't entertainment, Mike.
I know.
Hey, Frank, can you smell what my rock is cooking? Why don't you kiss my rock?
You went into wrestling, and there's a little Ralph Cram in there for a while. I thoroughly enjoyed it, really did.
Why don't you kiss my rock? And then kiss my other rock.
There you go.
And kiss his rock, and kiss his other rock.
Kiss my bad place.
Man, I want you to lick Buzz's scar.
I do. I really do.
I want you to lick my ear. Lick all the wax out of my ear.
Yeah.
You know what that is? You know that when you taste my earwax, you know what you'd be tasting? Number one.
The taste of success.
The taste of being number one in something.
That waxy, successful goodness.
The taste of having the balls to do something where you get a report card, where you get a black and white printed report on how you're doing. Imagine that. Imagine if they had such a thing for you, Frank. What do you think your rating would be?
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Would I love that?
Yeah. He just doesn't have the balls. Just does not have the balls.
That old paper needs a report card.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Well, Frank, for the last time, this is the number one rated show. You know it. I know it. And everybody listening knows it.
Here, here.
And F you.
Bully!
And F your family, too.
Bully!
And this is not entertainment.
Right.
This is real.
It's personal.
Right.
This is real. And if you wanna eat sometime, why don't you come down and eat me? Why don't you just come down and eat me? Eat all of me.
It's an invitation to dinner.
Right.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
Dinner in my bunk. Come on down.
My dinner with Don's bunk.
Please, you pompous, elitist, a-hole.
Christ.
Okay, that's that.
Very nice.
We gave him the opportunity.
That's all I can
say. We gave him the opportunity.
Right? It's very good. I feel very, very purged.
Hello. Here's a message for Don and Mike from Meadow.
Hey, Don and Mike. This is Meadow. I hope everything's well. Best wishes and keep watching the show.
And I'm sorry. I need to ask, what is your real name? Because I don't know.
My name is Jamie.
Well, you're beautiful, Jamie. And we really love the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Wow. How come you didn't tell Meadow Soprano she's put upon? So pretty. So put upon.
Hello, Northern California, where you're hearing this show right now in Sacramento. Just after 1 o'clock,
at our radio station,
is the home of the Sacramento Kings.
K-H-T-K.
These fellows are off the muscle with Don and Mike.
Yeah, I like the Kings. I like them because they're winning.
I like them too. I watch them all the time. When I can, you know, when I get them here. You know, when I'm watching the NBA fast ticket or whatever.
You don't have the NBA league pass.
Oh, well, that's right. I don't. I don't. No, I don't watch the NBA.
I do. I like them.
I like the Kings too, though. I'm just saying that.
I know you are.
I do. I've said that, but I've been consistent. I've been saying that ever since I've had that cursory knowledge that they're successful. I've said I'm a big Kings fan.
And ever since they started to win, that's when we started to back
go Kings.
Absolutely.
Go Kings!
Right. Does anything you can say about us? We're front runners all the way.
Absolutely.
we're last on, but boy, when we jump on, we jump on all the way.
I love the Kings, and here in Washington, I love the Capitals.
You know, right now that they've won like 10 out of 11 games.
What a boy, I tell you, that's great. You know what I mean? The nice thing is I can, you know, I can go back and pull out the fact that I used to be a season ticket holder with the Capitals, so I can always say, hey, I've been with them the whole way.
Until they piss you off.
Yes, and then I go away for a while.
Listen, one last thing about Frank Ahern.
Yes.
I have to tell you, he's hated by his colleagues at the Washington Post.
Is he really?
During the break, we received no less than 2 calls from people who, of course, will kill us if we give their names.
Right.
The people who work in the style section at the Washington Post. And they say that, yes, indeed, Frank Aherns does hate our show.
There you go.
And the reason he hates our show is because he considers himself to be an educated, refined man, and he finds our brand of radio to be beneath him.
Well, excuse me. Will you know something? For years and years and years, entertainment has been beneath people, and quite often, that's what makes it funny.
And what do you think about that, Frank?
Yeah.
2 of your colleagues from the Post, one who's behind the scenes and another one who, I can't give it away, but another one whose name is in the newspaper somewhere today.
There you go.
Both of them called during the break.
Excellent.
I say, listen, don't let them tell you that it's nothing personal.
Sure, it is personal.
Because it's 100% personal.
That's why we tear it on the way we...
I'm great. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. We're calling to speak to a representative of Mr. Tom Hanks, if we could.
We've got a wonderful idea for Tom Hanks.
Right on, hold on.
Thank you.
Good. Tom Hanks' agent.
Uh-oh. Where is he from?
Our agent.
Yes, hello.
Hello?
Ma'am, hey lady.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, listen, my name is Don, and this is my friend Mike. We're doing a national radio show right now.
How do you do?
Hi there.
Hi, and we were calling to inquire if you could speak to one of Tom Hanks' agents.
Okay, his agent's actually at lunch right now.
Lunch. Oh, man. We've got a wonderful idea for Tom Hanks.
Maybe you could jot this down.
Okay.
We watched Tom on the People's Choice Awards last night.
Mm-hmm.
And gotta be honest, this whole thing with him and, like, please give your money to the memorial for WW2, where's a little thin when it's a guy who makes, like, $50 million a movie asking other people to give their money?
So we had an idea that it would be really neat if Tom Hanks could bankroll the project and just maybe cut a check for $20-25 million just to finance the whole project himself.
And that way, when he gets an award, he could just come out and say thank you instead of coming out and lecturing us and preaching to us about how we should call the toll-free number to donate money. Because unlike Tom, we have to work for a living.
So we thought we'd call and make that suggestion. So could you pass that along to him?
Oh, I'll do just that.
Okay, could you read that back to me, please?
That Mr. Hanks, instead of preaching to those, should go ahead and sir, if you'd like to fax this to us, I can forward it to him that way.
Well, usually, you know, when they always get messages, and if you just, you know, took a detail.
Any message for Mr. Hanks, I need to get in writing.
And why that? He's just a man.
That's unfortunately the way that we have to do things here.
Doesn't that sound a bit pretentious to you?
That it has to be in writing? I would think you were taking the message at first.
Can you mean if his mom called and said, hey, listen, this is his mom.
If his mother called through his office here, yes, it would have to be in writing.
So his mother would have to send a fax?
Yes, but his mother wouldn't call us here.
His wife?
Same thing.
Have to be in writing?
Yes, it would.
Oh, that would tick her off.
Who sets that up, Tom or you guys?
That is per the instructions of Mr. Hanks.
Then why do you have telephones? Why don't you just sit at a fax machine all day?
Well, you know what? If you'd like to fax me with that request, I will make sure that gets through to those
cities. This is everything that's wrong with the world right now.
Oh, God.
Everything that's wrong with the world is happening right now in this telephone call.
Unbelievable.
Listen, if you could just take a second just to write down, it doesn't even have, you don't need to put our name.
Sure, I really can't do that. If you need to speak with anyone else, I can get you in touch with someone.
Just write anonymously, Tom. Yeah, maybe you could make like a post-it note, you know, like...
Again, sure if you need to speak with someone else, or if you'd like to first...
Yeah, I'd like to speak to somebody else.
Get you with our public relations.
I tell you what, put me through to PR, that's fine.
Okay,
this would be a good PR move.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought that went well.
Nurse Ballbreaker there.
Another friend
well,
made.
I'd like to point out she was taking the message until the message was delivered, and then that's when it became necessary to send it in writing.
I'm going
to
call back. My next call will be his Tom Hanks' mother.
Hello? Hello, it's Tom there in writing. How dare you? Yes, we'd love to have Santa Claus stay with us.
This is Mrs. Hanks. Is my son Thomas there? I don't know how to run the fax machine.
I don't even own one. Just give him the message, dear girl. Please, you'd make his mother run all the way downtown to a fax machine. So I have to, Tom, this is Mother Gump. I have to go to Kinko's Copies. All I wanted to do was tell him I'm sending him some lovely cookies. Please make sure he gets them.
Now, this lady.
Yeah, now we're never, never left.
She just put us on
hold. Hi, how can I help you?
Ah, hello. Hey, is this the PR department?
It sure is.
Hey, hi, public relations. This is Don and Mike. We're doing a national radio show right now on the Westwood One Network.
How do you do?
We were given to you by Tom Hanks' agent.
Right.
Because we had a little thought here for Tom.
Okay.
Maybe you could take the note. We watched him on the People's Choice Awards last night. Love him. Super job. Super actor.
Thought it was a great speech, but we had a thought that might be a little more effective for what he wants to get done.
Okay. Well, you know what? I can refer this interest to his publicist, because that's actually who would handle it. It wouldn't actually be us. We don't actually do the publicity for Tom.
Well, maybe you could just take a note.
Okay.
Maybe you could just take
Tell
a note.
What you're thinking, and I will...
Yeah. Great.
That's terrific. And that's all we need somebody over there to do.
Here's the thought.
You know,
Tom has millions of dollars, makes millions of dollars for every movie. During his acceptance speech last night, he gave out a number.
Asked everybody to donate for the World War II Memorial and, gave the number out. And we thought of an idea that might be a little more effective for getting that job done.
How about if Tom just pays for it himself? We figure $25
million. That would build a real good one.
From design to architecture to construction to getting the land, everything. $25 million, and that way when he wins an award, he could just come out and say thank you instead of like putting the hit on people for money when he's got more money than all of us put together.
And we figure, you know, that's just a ballpark, $25 million. It could be even 10, 15, who knows, but I'm sure $25 million would make a good one.
Okay.
My wife got a nice gazebo for about $1,500 in our backyard. I mean, if he really wanted to cheap it out.
Right. Get it done real quick.
But he's got the dough.
You don't want to make it out of wood. You want it to be made out of, you know, it'd be a money rock memorial.
I think it'd be money metal, Mike.
Money metal.
Make it out of metal.
There you go.
But either way, you know, he's got the money.
And we figured it'd be real, you know, it'd save all the time about processing people's donations, and they'd probably be able to put it up, inside of 4 months.
And plus, being as you're a publicist, or you work for his agent, you could definitely get into this. Talk about your good publicity,
oh,
right?
Fantastic PR. Tom Hanks donates all the money himself, memorial built inside of 4 months. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
Be great.
Okay.
And see, that way when he's on the award show then, he could just come out and say, thank you, everybody, for paying $7 to see me in movies where all I do is read lines that other people write for me. Thank you Thank you for affording me this fantastic lifestyle. Thank you, Joe and Josephine Public.
And then the memorial's built. We don't, have the 800 number given, and everybody's happy.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
And I'm sure he gets, he gets some kind of plaque there saying...
Yeah, they put a plaque up for him.
Movie star Tom Hanks paid for this?
Yeah, we can't guarantee that, but I'm sure the people that were associated with that, if they got $25 million from Tom Hanks, they want to put up a plaque.
Hey, listen, the other thing is, if you please tell him that his mom called, and his mom is really pissed because she called the other number and the lady told her she had to send a fax.
Oh no!
Said everything has to be submitted in writing, even if it comes from his mother. And we thought that was awful. What if she's got like cookies she wants to give him?
And if he puts up a fuss, she's come. I'm sure even the money he made on a movie like Joe versus the Volcano would probably pay for this.
Sure. You know, when we say $25 million, we're talking for the Cadillac of memorials, right?
All right.
And you take the money from that thing you do.
Oh, that'd be a lot of money.
Ooh, nice. That wasn't a huge money maker for him, right? I mean, that was more of a pet project, more of a an ego thing to prove that he could be a director and everything.
Royalties from Bosom Buddies?
Turner and Hooch.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Turner and Hooch could pay for your Vietnam and WW2 memorial.
Take a little money from the money pit?
That's a very, very interesting look at it.
Well, you're very nice. You're very nice to say that.
You're welcome.
I mean, maybe you're
definitely the person that you would want to be speaking to, though, is his publicist.
Well, if you could just circulate that and make sure it gets to, you know, the right people at CAA.
Okay. Did you want to give me some of your information that I could give to his publicist?
Yes, we work for CYA. As opposed to CAA.
Uh-huh.
Listen, my name is Don, and this is my friend Mike, and we have a national radio show on the Westwood One Network.
What? Something the people at CAA ought to be, you know, aware of.
Right.
Because we're always looking for the right three-picture deal.
There you go.
I tell you, if anybody ever gave us an award, if anybody was ever nice enough to bestow an award on us, you'd always say, thank you.
Thank you.
We wouldn't get up with all this pretentious crap about giving out an 800 number or something. If anybody ever gave me anything, I might give something back.
Sure. Absolutely. And you know why we say that? Because we know we'll never get one of those awards.
Well, I won't either, but that's life, I guess.
See, then you can relate. You're a regular, hard-working Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make $50 million a film, do you?
Oh, sure I do. Do you guys have a number where you can be reached at by his publicist?
Yes, 1-800.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me give you the inside line, all right?
Okay.
275-4277.
4277. And what's the station? I have Westwood One. That's all I've written.
We're on 60-some stations across the country.
Okay.
Westwood One Radio Network.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I will pass this message along.
And you've been very, very nice.
You're very nice.
Oh,
thank
you.
Much more than all those other phonies we talked to.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you very much.
You got it. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
There you go. And I kind of think that message just went right into the trash can. But when they call back on our special line, just ask for ads.
All right. Well, listen, mission completed. Our job is done.
We've done our job, Don, and I hope people are grateful for that.
We've got a break.
We'll be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
Right. I'm no different than he is.
It's not like you're in the bedroom, you know, the pink bedroom with the flowers on the sheet and the dark pink phone and passing that along. You know, and the people really want the people that exploit this are the people that were around Elvis and talk about it, and people are fascinated by this, and that's why we read these things.
I just think it's so effing hypocritical that a guy would write a book like this, a book that's not a kiss-ass book, a book that, let's be honest, he's doing publicity on Dateline, he's on the Today Show, he's on CBS This Morning. Mm. Because he's written a book about Elvis masturbating, about Elvis making a mess in his pants, about Elvis not being able to control his bowels. But because he's done it and he writes good stuff along with the salty stuff,
right?
He thinks he's on a higher standard than the rest of us are. So then the guy starts saying,
I think also when we're reading a story about flashbulbs in the pool and, you know, about shutting down a movie theater so you can have people going out, and we're laughing about that, that's the good, fun stuff, too. It's not all, you know, there's balance here, believe it or not.
Friendly.
You know, we talk about everything. When it concerns Elvis, we talk about everything that's interesting about Elvis, and we talk about everything that the quirky side of Elvis, and not just the fact that he was on the toilet. That comes at the very end, but we include that, too.
Listen, let's be honest. We talk mainly about the bad stuff about Elvis, but that's what we do. That's okay.
I don't think it's just my opinion. I don't think Scatter the Monkey is bad stuff. I don't think when you're talking about Elvis and the different women in his life, I don't think that's all the bad stuff. And frankly, when we're talking about Elvis and sex, I don't think that's all bad stuff, too. To me, you know, it actually balances out. It really does. We just have fun with it. I mean, we always have had fun with the incredible, legacy this guy has. Elvis Presley, people going crazy over.
Guy's just a creep. So sitting back there with his publicist, with the lady from the publishing company, looking at me, right?
No, it wasn't her. She wanted him to do the show. I saw this guy on Dateline. And I remember coming into the office and saying, this is not a guy who will be, you know, who was a mix for this show. Mm. I knew he wouldn't. I was very surprised, frankly, when he was going to come on the show. But it doesn't surprise me one bit that this happened because,
normally these guys will at least come in.
Sure.
Then get offended, then leave. And I said to the guy, at least come in and say your piece. And he said, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Then he says to me, who are your favorite authors? What books have you read? And I said, well, if you're going to try to make this look like you're smart and I'm stupid, I said, you're going to win. I enjoy John Grisham, mm-hmm. Joseph Wambaugh. I said, I'm reading a book right now by a guy named Dan Jenkins.
Right.
And he looked at me and he gave me a real snob look. And he said, well,
I prefer books like blah, 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 which is all factual. I don't enjoy fiction. And what I write is fact. And I don't write fiction. And I didn't know that this was this type of the show.
This is the way this guy was when I saw him on Dateline, when he was going through. Remember I said the guy with the surgical gloves going through the material?
This freak's name is Peter Golnarek, Guralnik. How do you pronounce it, Rob?
Guralnik.
Guralnik. Peter Guralnik. Oh, I tell you, don't buy this book. Do not buy this book.
He's just pretty much said he doesn't want this audience to buy his book.
And then the publicist, who was trying to get him to do the show, she says to him, you know, these guys have a very affluent audience. These guys have a college-educated audience. These guys have a better audience than National Public Radio.
And all we're doing here, and we say this all the time, we are simply having fun. Mm-hmm. And Elvis is interesting, and there are funny stories about Elvis, and that's what we do here.
This guy just takes himself way too seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
So F him. And F his stupid book. Mm-hmm. You know, Rob,
yes.
I know that you had him autograph this, right?
So you
don't want me to burn this, right?
Please
don't. I'd like to burn one of this guy's books. I'd like to get back to book burning.
Can we get Don another copy, Rob? I know you like to keep all the stuff, and you got it signed.
Give me another copy of this book that you didn't get signed, you faggot. And then I would like to burn that book. I would like to burn the book and urge everyone in our audience to burn all books.
Burn all books.
Not all books.
No, not all books, Don.
No, come
burn,
on.
I didn't finish.
That's going to be very ugly.
Burn all books by Peter...
Guralnik.
Freaking little creep with your tweed jacket on. Little germ, you little toad.
Oh, God.
Oh, and the guy. It's just not the type of the show. You guys are talking about what Elvis had in his stomach. I said, wait. Don't you have a whole chapter in your book
right.
about the items that were in Elvis's stomach? Well, yes, but I'm just reporting it.
Mm-hmm. I am so surprised.
And the final rap that he says to me, I said, you are an effing hypocrite. I said, you're out to make money. Mm-hmm. You're an author. You got this book published. You publish the book because you can make money. You're going on a publicity tour. And he said, oh, no. I want to educate people about music.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote about Muddy Waters. Mm-hmm. I wrote about the Beatles. You know, meanwhile, the guy's sitting there in Armani suit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's well-dressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's obvious this guy, he's not out there on a soup kitchen line
right.
because he's a struggling author.
Sure.
Fighting for his art.
Right.
This is a guy,
there it goes.
I just threw the book across the room. Oh, this is me. At least, if you're going to stiff us, be man enough to come in this studio. And I said to him, me and Mike will give you ample time to say whatever you want to say about why you don't want to come on the show.
You know, and frankly, I wouldn't think, if you would come on the show, that it would have been something where... Well, we've had the Memphis Mafia on, and we kind of get on their case, because we do fall into the category of thinking that Elvis surrounded himself with a lot of hangers-on, and it goes in that direction, and they get mad at us. But an author that's writing, a book about Elvis Presley... I didn't think it would be a problem, but I didn't. I'll tell you one thing I thought. I didn't think it would be very interesting because it's not. He's just not the kind of guy that that would be a lot of fun on this show.
Well, listen, the bottom line is, you know, the guy's an author. He has a book that's been published by a major publisher.
Mm-hmm.
He made a commitment. They called us.
Sure.
To have him on this show.
Right. You know, it's the responsibility of the people around him to let him know the kind of show we do.
They flew him into town on their dime so he could appear on our show.
Mm-hmm.
The guy shows up. The very least you can do as a professional is to come in here and say why you don't want to be on the show. Not sit out there like a little boy and go, well, I'm not going to do it. It's just not my type of show.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. F you, Poindexter.
Absolutely.
F you. You're no John Grisham. You hear me? You piece of garbage. You bastard. Yellow bastard. You're raping Elvis Presley. At least I'm honest about it that I rape Elvis Presley.
You don't rape Elvis Presley.
Oh, sure I do, Mike.
No,
so
you
do
don't.
You.
No.
Everybody rapes Elvis. It's fun to rape Elvis.
Oh, God.
Oh, Christ. I just hate a guy like that. You know, the thing is, he's written one book that was about Elvis before he got famous.
Right.
So that's like old sugar and spice and everything nice. And he thinks because he wrote that, now he can write a book about the not-so-nice side of Elvis.
Sure, right.
But because he's a serious journalist, You know what I mean? He's somehow on a higher, loftier plane than you and me, and he can't lower himself to come on the show.
Why don't you go pet Elvis's feet? Rub Elvis's feet.
Freak.
In the pink bedroom.
You freak.
You're a losing author, man.
Really, you suck. Boomer Esiason is a better author than you are.
Oh. And you read his book.
Yes.
Why didn't you say that when he asked you what books you read? Why didn't you say Boomer Esiason?
Because I wanted to at least save a little face.
Okay. Why didn't you tell him you've read all of John Madden's books?
Well, you should see the face he made when I said John Grisham.
Oh, of course.
I said John Grisham, and he was like...
You know, it doesn't fit into that intellectual community as far as the scholarly works. Of, you know, I'd like to know who his books were.
I swear to God, I said, I can read.
No, absolutely. I wish I could say that.
I read books.
You're garbage, man.
Yeah. You're not even a professional, man. You write a book, you make an appointment with two guys to come on the show to publicize your book, and then you walk out. F you.
You know, it would be the one good thing that comes out of this, I will tell you right now, is that I saw the guy, and when I saw him, I just didn't think it wouldn't be very interesting if he was in here. Honestly,
well, I'd at least like it to play out on the radio. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think even, you know, that might have been interesting, but if we had him under the guise of talking about the book,
right.
When I saw him interviewed, I mean, you figure you tweak it up a little bit for national TV, and when I saw him interviewed on Dateline, it was kind of, I was sitting there by the end of the interview kind of going... So, I mean, on here, he probably would have even less. I'm sure he didn't have a lot of energy when he was talking
to you. Oh, no, he's a point usher. He's very boring. But listen, the point is, the guy's got no great morals. I'm looking through the book right now, and I'm seeing, you know, he's written about Elvis hallucinating. He's written about Elvis and guns.
Well, Don, you should point out, that's other people that said that.
He's writing about Elvis's colon problems.
He just decided to put pen to paper and print it.
Yeah, right. Elvis's love of machine guns, badass Elvis, Elvis dies, Elvis's autopsy. Oh, yeah, listen, he wrote for 5 pages about Elvis's bowels, about how his large intestine was clogged with fecal matter.
His sluggish large intestine.
Mm-hmm.
And how many segments did he sit through before he finally decided at the last second to get up and walk?
That would be two, Buzz.
Two.
Wow.
Yes, two.
What does Tim McWilliams want?
Tim, what do you want?
Hey, Don, you know, you used the wrong tactic there, buddy. A couple of buddies of mine from the old neighborhood would have had him in there through 2 stops. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Tim is advocating, I believe, some sort of physical activity.
Oh, no.
Dragging him in here, dragging him in here against his own will.
Well, Tim, listen, that's Lawsuit City. You drag some Poindexter author in here.
Couldn't do it, Tim.
And you know, too soft to sell, Don. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
See you next time.
Thanks for your input.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Give our best to Sammy the Bull Gravano.
There he is.
Tim McWilliams.
One of the car guys.
Absolutely.
I almost forgot. It's time for caller 100 now.
And just remember, in the words of Tim McWilliams, $4,000 doesn't even get you in the lobby.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, hello.
Oh, that guy's a son of a bitch.
That's got to make you very mad.
Oh, it does. It really does. I mean, the guy was here.
He was here. He's
the
waiting
guy
to
was
go on.
In the green room.
Right.
Sitting back there, and then he gets a stick up his ass and decides, well, he's too good to come on this show.
Oh.
He's too good. You're not too good to write about Elvis's impacted colon.
Right.
In there.
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, what do you want? Oh, it's caller 100. Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, friend. Who is this, please?
This is Steve from Worcester.
Steve, Worcester, Massachusetts. What station are you listening on, sir?
WORC.
Beautiful. You are caller 100. Can you please tell us? And this is another thing he was very offended about, that we would do a contest about the items in Elvis's stomach.
Ah, well, you know, I mean, people love contests, huh?
Can you please tell us the items in Elvis's stomach at the time of his death?
And incidentally, I should point out, the items on this list, these are facts.
Yes, we're just reading someone else's list, Mike.
Someone else's list of facts, factual information.
Uh-huh. Yes, could we have that list, please?
He had codeine in high concentration.
Yes.
Morphine.
Right.
Quaalude.
Yeah.
Valium.
Yes, sir.
Valmin.
Right.
Placidol.
Yes.
Amitol.
He pronounced that correctly, Buzz?
Yes, good enough. Nembutal.
Right.
Demerol.
Yeah.
Ensinitab.
Hey, bravo.
That's it. Big winner. You're caller 100. We got the list. So here you go. You want a container of mint snuff pouches.
Wow. I bet the author doesn't like the fact that we're giving those away either. I don't know why. I just bet he doesn't like it.
It's a perfect alternative to chewing tobacco and cigarettes. Call 1-800-EAT-MINT. But wait, there's more. The cornucopia of gifts doesn't end there. You've also qualified to go with us to the Super Bowl at Super Bowl XXXIII in Miami. The trip, if you win it, includes airfare, rental car, hotel room, and 2 great seats.
to the Super Bowl, and you get to be on our Super Bowl show live from Miami. It's going to be great. Please make sure you're listening on Friday, because that's when we're giving the trip away, okay?
Okay.
Beautiful. Hey, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
Hold on a second.
All right.
Always an adventure, this show. You never know what's going to happen.
Call in, you son of a bitch. You big sissy.
Just Tim McWilliams is going to go get them for you. And there's the guy you want back in the outfit, any kind of altercation.
Please do, Tim. Hey, all righty. Why don't you come back over there to the studio? Hey, come on now. Get into my Oldsmobile.
Oh, the guy just fries my ass with that.
I can imagine.
Hey, you know, I mean, that's got to be very frustrating.
Some of the chapters in his book, Elvis's Problems with Constipation.
Mm-hmm.
This guy wrote a whole chapter about Elvis's constipation. Yet he's too good to come on this lowly show.
He can't come down to our level and get his hands dirty.
He wrote a chapter on Elvis's pill switching. He wrote the entire monologue about freaks that carry your luggage up to the room.
Elvis's pill switching.
Oh, you want to hear about that?
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious about that.
Let me see. Elvis watched from his hotel room as all the people were leaving the arena, and he said, "You don't understand. I just can't shut it off like that." So Dr. Nick came in and set his case down and went out to get something. Elvis started going through Dr. Nick's case.
Oh, there's a mistake. You know, Dr. Nick, you made so many mistakes.
And incidentally, I'm reading this from the book of the man with morals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The guy who doesn't have fun like we do. The guy who's so butt serious about everything that he couldn't come on this show.
Yeah, good.
Right. He only writes facts, man.
Facts that other people have given him. Not responsible for this.
Dr. Nick came in and set his case down, and he went out to get something, and Elvis started going through his case. He told me, "They're going to give me some pills." And they gave me some pills the other night. Yeah, they gave me pills the other night that look the same, but they're non-addictive. They're placebos, and I know it. And he doesn't know I know it.
But I know Elvis was hip to that fact.
But I know more about drugs than he does. These are filled with sugar. I said, "Elvis, stay out of there. You can't do that." And he said, "No, man, I have to. Don't you say anything. Don't you tell him." And Elvis took the real pills and put the fake ones back in Dr. Nick's case. The next morning, I went to see Joe, and I said, "Please don't say anything." But Elvis exchanged the pills. And Dr. Nick came in and said, "Thank you," and went and put the fake ones back. Elvis came in an hour later and said, "Okay, who was in there? Who switched those pills back?"
He knows about them.
And he looked at me and said, "Did you do that?" I said, "No, Elvis." And he said, "Someone was in there. I know the pills that were in there. They've been switched." Everybody said, "I don't know." And Elvis ranted and raved, and he was angry, and he finally just let it go.
He let it go. Unfortunately, he didn't let it go enough, though.
Yeah. You write something like that? That's tabloid, man.
Yeah, of course it is.
That's tabloidy gossip. You're writing quotes here. When I was talking like Elvis, those are quotes that supposedly come from Elvis Presley.
Not right. Trying to get his hands dirty on that.
Yeah, right. With a dead guy. You're quoting a dead guy. How do you know the information you're quoting is true?
Right on!
Oh, you SOB. You lousy, pencil-pushing SOB. I could write a better book than you in my sleep.
I think you should.
And I think I will, Mike.
And I think you should do it in your sleep.
I think I will. I think I'll do it during the next commercial set.
Oh, you rat. Elvis would have written books in his sleep, but he was, later in his career. Unfortunately, he was doing other things in his sleep.
All right, well, this is all the time we would have had for him on the show anyway.
And I do file this under the category of no great loss.
Now, Rob, give me a copy of that book. I would like to burn that book on today's show.
All right.
Before we are done with today's show, I'm going to bring back book burning.
Fire! Where am
I? I will. Give me a trash can and a lighter, please.
Burn this book right
Rob,
now.
Rob,
that's a wonderful sacrifice.
Thank you for giving up, Rob. I know you're a big collector.
Rob, that's a wonderful sacrifice for the show, and you're a big man to do that. Even though Don did call you a faggot.
Here's what. Listen to what he wrote to Rob. And look at the handwriting this guy's got. For Rob, with best wishes from a fellow fan of the music, Peter Gerlinek. Girl in it, get it? Girl in it.
Girl all neck.
Girl all neck.
Girl all neck.
Fan of the music. You don't write about Elvis's music.
No. No, in there I was reading about pills being switched.
Yes, to the best of my knowledge. I mean, you just read that. And that's a quote from this guy's book.
There you go. Sprinklers working. The sprinklers working.
Come on, Rob.
Fahrenheit 451.
Please, I want to burn a book right now.
I'm hot for this.
Come on now, because he's gonna come back after the commercial break, and it's not going to be as intense.
No, I've forgotten about it by then.
Strike while the fire is hot.
And the fire is hot right now. I'm already starting to... Oh, there's Charlie with the fire extinguisher. Excellent.
A good first step.
Very good, brother.
You know, it reminds me of the time, Don, we used to end the shows with firecrackers.
Mm-hmm.
And they told us we couldn't do that anymore. I wish we could. All right.
You listen to me right now, Peter. Girl, Nick. You hear this? A trash can.
Okay, now let me explain the way we're going to do this.
You hear this?
You let it burn a little bit and then put it out quickly. Otherwise, the building will fill with smoke.
This is your book right here.
Uh-huh.
This is a Bic lighter.
Right.
You hear that?
Here I am. It's burning your book. Just start at page one.
Safely.
Safely, yes. This is a control. We urge people not to do this at home. This is a controlled environment.
What you want to do is get a high school gymnasium, or rather out by a parking lot by a high school football field.
Yes, or in the middle of a field, a deserted field.
That's where you want to burn this guy's books.
You're on the studio. We're doing it over a plastic trash can.
Now, I'm burning it right now.
There you go.
It's caught. Look, isn't that a beautiful sight, Mike?
No.
Okay.
That is a beautiful sight.
You might want to put that on the ground, Don.
Almost ready for the fire extinguisher.
Okay. It's not that smoky in here yet.
All right.
We'll puff of smoke at the beginning and then just flame.
Right. And Don is going to put out the fire in a moment.
Mm-hmm. Ready?
All right.
Book burning.
Get back a little distance.
Hold on.
Let's enjoy this book burning.
Yeah, I mean, there's not all that much smoke in here, and you can just kind of let it linger a little bit.
Oh, that's a good book burning, man.
It's a lovely smell.
Ready, boys?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Ah!
There it is.
And the fire...
Fire's out.
...is out.
Fire's out.
Now, those... That's terrific. Whose briefcase is that?
That's Rob's briefcase. I have to buy him a new briefcase now.
Oh, dear.
I kind of ruined Rob's briefcase. It got a bunch of fire extinguisher on it.
Nothing a nice wet towel won't take care of.
Well, thank you, Rob. Thank you for sacrificing your book.
He can go burn up.
Yeah, look at that.
Rob, there were a couple of little cinders that kind of flew underneath the equipment. Just take a peek during the break.
Take a look at this, Mike. This is beautiful. Look at this. I'm holding up the book that way.
You know, it almost has now an antique-y quality.
Yeah, look at that. With all the pages that are burned.
Looks like a book you might find in the 1800s.
You froze the carpet.
Oh, the carpet is frozen.
Oh, we can go scraping.
All right, well.
Smells like an old-fashioned campfire.
I think that was wonderful symbolism.
All right, there's ashes everywhere.
Oh, I love a good old book burner.
Yeah. Do you think maybe now they'll let us bring firecrackers back to end the show?
I think we should just start it.
I think we should start it and wait till they tell us not to do it again.
Hey, Rob, get us some firecrackers for tomorrow's show.
Yeah! Someone has to send them in. I don't have any.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Somebody from South Carolina has to send us some firecrackers, please.
Yeah, we need firecrackers.
Go down to south of the border and buy us about 1,000 of them, please.
And if you're listening in our Washington audience, simply bring the firecrackers by the building.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yes, we have something.
Get out of here, Curtis. I don't hear you unless you knock.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I'm Tim.
Me too. Thanks.
Yeah, we know what it's about. Yeah. Sioux City, right?
Sure.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Hi.
Am I on the air?
Yes,
I
am.
Oh,
lady,
God.
Baby.
I'm very sick.
Potty?
No.
Sweetie? Cupcake?
I'm from Sioux City.
Dollface?
I'm listening to nothing.
Yes, I know.
Another call from Sioux City. Call them.
Listen, I tried calling them.
Keep trying.
Their phone is off the hook or something.
Let me explain to you, like Ricky used to say to Lucy. Let me explain to you what happened.
What did happen?
Okay.
Bad day.
We've got very loyal listeners in Sioux City who have bestowed upon us fantastic ratings. The last ratings, we had a 19.6 share.
Yeah, we are delighted with our success story out there.
Okay, that's a success. You get a 19.6.
Mm-hmm.
You're number one.
It's incredible.
So, of course, we were horrified when one of our clients, somebody who runs commercials on KKMA,
right,
sent us a letter and said that,
your phone's breaking up.
Guy sent us a letter, a fax, and said he had a meeting with KKMA about buying more advertising on our show.
Right.
And that they told him that they were going to drop the show and that they're changing to an all-oldies format. And that, let me just read you part of the letter.
Okay.
And we read this letter earlier on the air before they yanked us off, so everybody in Sioux City would know how they're screwing us around.
I had my 90-day advertising review today with the station assistant manager, and I cornered him. After bull-essing me for quite a while, he let loose with it. It seems another radio station has dropped their oldies format, and KKKMA, as of Monday, is going to be another oldies station. The assistant manager told me they were canceling your show and notifying you guys by mail on Friday, so the crap will hit while you are on your Christmas break.
Sneaky, sneaky.
That way you cannot hammer them until they are long gone. This gentleman even showed me the new lineup promo cards and swore me to secrecy. I know you don't believe me, and that is why in true Don and Mike style, I stole one of the new lineup cards. I have taken the liberty to fax this card to you as well. At least you can blast those jerks back to the Stone Ages. And then the guy was savvy enough.
Yep, he gave us this little lineup card they have, this little promo sheet for the new format.
For new Oldies 99, Good Time, Rock and Roll. And it's all Jai Vass, been there, done that, radio, boring radio ideas. And, you know, we're mad on a couple of different fronts. First off, we can't believe that we have such loyal listeners that have really rewarded us at that station with great ratings that they would cancel the show. So we're pissed about that. But we're also pissed that they weren't even gentlemen about it.
No, they weren't stand-up guys. They were going to actually do it and you know, do it while we were on vacation, which is just the lowest life form thing you can do.
And you know, it reminds me very much of when the Baltimore Colts moved out of Baltimore.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
In the dead of night, they snuck out because they didn't want anybody to know about it.
And that's exactly what KKMA was doing with us. They're going to cancel the show while we were on vacation next week because it's Christmas. Because then they knew that we wouldn't be able to say anything about it.
That's right.
So we got on the air and we talked about it. And, you know, because they're such dumbasses, they left us on for 40 minutes telling the truth about what happened. I read the letter from our client.
Right.
And read about the new programming. And, you know, it's one thing if a station wants to cancel a show. I guess that's their prerogative.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But why you'd cancel a show that in the last rate has got you a 19.6, and why you would cancel a show and not even have the decency to be a man about it, to call up and say, hey, listen, we canceled your show, it's not going to work out. I don't get it.
And they've been treating the listeners that have called like crap all day today and hanging up on them and, you know, trying to get them into debate. Today. The bottom line is we were winning for this radio station. They screwed us. They were going to unceremoniously pull us off the station, and they were going to do it when we were out of town because they didn't want us to talk about it. And screw them.
So what we're going to ask you, because you live in Sioux City, we're asking everybody listening to us now in all the other cities to please call them at area code 712, and their phone number is 546-4121, and tell them they're rotten sons of bitches and that they're two-faced bastards. And furthermore, if you hear anybody running commercials on KKMA, and this I really mean, you should call up the clients.
And say, you know, you're not getting what you were supposed to get.
Yeah, like if you hear Buzz Burbank's Bakery, you know, say, we have the best bagels in town.
Wow.
Call them up.
That's the best bagels in town.
Call them up and say, listen, I heard your commercial on KKMA. Are you aware that they canceled my favorite show and they did it in the middle of the night, just like the Baltimore Colts moving out of Baltimore, moving to Indianapolis?
I will. Believe me, I'm going to call them. I'm going to write them. I'm going to find an email address. I'm going to let the advertisers know.
It's underhanded. It's
another lame thing Sioux City could do.
And, you know,
it's stupid. It really is. It's a stupid thing to do, and it demonstrates they have no concern for the people that listen to the radio station, because we have shown them that people love this show, and that's why you're listening in droves out in Sioux City, and
you know,
they don't care.
The deal we made with these stations when we would sign on to them is that you run the show. Excuse me. Oh, that's for them. You run the show, and we'll get you big ratings.
Right.
Well, a 19.6 rating. I don't know what you know about the radio business.
That's a biggie, huge.
But that's, you know, if you get a 10 share in radio, you're considered golden.
And the bottom line in this business is that's what we're expected to do. That's what we bring to the table.
We got ratings. We got loyal listeners. They screwed us. And more than that, they showed that they don't really care about the people that listen to the station. They didn't even have the decency, you know what I mean, to come on the air and say, listen, we're going to make a format change here. We're going to do this. They want to do this behind our backs. They've already got all this new crap, all their new propaganda printed up and ready to get out on the street about their new format.
And what sucks is that, you know, we talk to people in Sioux City like you and like all those good people out there. Some really fun, interesting people that called, and really, that's what really sucks. You hear it in their voices, how frustrated they are, and it's not fair. It's not, you know, and it's, as Don said, one thing to do it, another thing to do it the way they did it.
Well, if they're going to do it, they better get you guys back on the air, or I'm going to screw them. I've got so many people that have already, I've called. I can't believe it. I got in the car, and it's some, like you said, oldies crap.
Yeah.
So I didn't listen to anything on the way home from work. I'm going crazy. I love you guys.
We're sorry about that. You know, that's a big letdown, too, because listen, I know. The end of a long, crappy day, man, that's one of the things that makes me happy about doing the show. And I know Mike and Buzz, too.
Absolutely.
You know that people, after a long, hard day of work, they can get in the car, turn on the radio, and hear something that's going to either make them happy or right. make them mad.
Best compliment we ever get doing this job, and it has been for years, is somebody going through a tough time at work, tough time in their life, and they say that they forget about it when they listen to the show. And that is, honest to God, that is the highest compliment we can be paid. And a lot of people do that. And that's what sucks. And now we can't do that for the people in Sioux City. And, you know, it's on our hands right now, and it's frustrating. But the listeners, you have the power in this situation. So please
do. What's the chance you guys will be back on the air, any?
We sure as hell hope we'd like to get on with another radio station.
Listen, to be honest with you, with a 19.6 share,
somebody will pick you up.
I got to think somebody would pick us up. But also, I would never have predicted that this station would be a station that would cancel the show.
So keep after them. Keep calling them. Tell your friends to do the same.
I will. God, there's nothing better than trying to conceal. You're laughing your ass off in your car, and you're by yourself, and people are looking at you like you're a complete idiot.
Well, you're very nice, and please call the station.
We hope we're back on soon, if not on this station.
We're not going to be back on that station.
I don't see that happening. On another station, I'd love to get on with another station.
Thank you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Sports 1140 KHDK.
You know, when you're wise to the ways of traveling, like me and my friend John.
Unbelievable.
Oh, good.
Maybe we'll be able to speak to a manager.
KLM.
Yes, KKMA?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, listen, this is Don and Mike, and we're on the air. We'd like to speak to Dave Rudin, please.
That's me.
Hey, you rat bastard. What kind of a cheesy businessman are you?
Really? We caught you. We found out what you were going to do.
Really?
I guess a 19.6 share isn't good enough for you.
What kind of a low-class, no-class, middle management piece of crap are you? Really? Have you ever heard about at least giving somebody a call to say we're going to cancel the show? You know better than the Baltimore Colts running out of Baltimore in the middle of the night. You know better than that.
I guess you're right there.
No, I'm absolutely right, you son of a bitch. I'm absolutely right. How dare you?
They're showing.
How dare you?
Absolutely right, you son of a bitch.
What are you doing? Don't listen to my show there. You took my show off. You can't listen to it on the satellite, you bastard.
Well, I kind of have to, don't I?
No, you don't.
You pulled the plug on us.
No, you don't.
Well, I have to clear the spots yet.
Listen, I got news for you, buddy. We're making our own deal, and you're going to be the first son of a bitch that we make an example out of. The first. That is a promise. That is a promise. You got a contract with us. You busted that contract. I'll see your ass in court. I promise. I swear to Jesus Christ. You are a low-level scum-sucking bad businessman. You got no ethics. You got no morals. You're a coward.
Well, don't you think you'll be on another station in a couple weeks?
I'm sure I will, but that will not stop my legal action against you and KKMA. That is an absolute promise.
Well, we're still clearing the spots.
You know what? Not good enough. Not good enough. How come you couldn't just pick up the phone to call somebody?
Well, I don't know. That wasn't a...
No. How come you couldn't pick up the phone to call somebody?
How do you pull the plug on a show with the rating success that we have? What the hell is the decision process there?
Well,
how do you do it? I'm curious.
Would you argue the fact that
19.6 share?
Would you argue the fact that our show's been a rating success on your station?
Well, yes. I guess I could, but it wouldn't do any good.
Hold on. Yes or no? Are the ratings much better than when we started on your station?
I guess I couldn't tell you for sure, but...
You're a liar.
With you, I guess.
You're not going to be honest with us. You know you didn't have the ratings that we have now.
Your audience that it says here that you're going for now is 25 to 54. Is that true? That's what it says on your program.
Everything says on that. That's...
Right. What's the target audience of this show, 25 to 54? Why did you decide to cancel our show?
Well, it's probably going to be a mistake, but...
Why?
Why did you do it? We just want to know why. We have that right. We have that right to know
that. We just decided to try something else.
Why?
Why? Because we did.
Why? Come on, for God's sake.
Why? Be a man. Step up for once. Say the truth. Why?
We just decided to try something else. You know, we had you guys on for 5 years.
What kind of idiot throws away a 20 share because you want to try something else?
I guess it's us.
So there is really, I mean, you're going to tell the rest of our listeners listening right now, who will find it very difficult to believe, that you simply wanted to try something new. That is your only criteria.
Well. Sure, there's other criteria.
Well, what are they?
We're waiting to hear it.
Well. It's not going to do any good to argue with you.
Well, why did you throw one out? I'm giving you the opportunity now to tell us why you fired us.
We just want to try something else. I mean, it's that simple.
It isn't that simple. No. Because you really are. The fact of the matter is you're throwing away a great rating.
Well, okay, if I tell you it's a hard sell, you're going to say...
Well, you can't sell a 20 share.
Uh-huh. That's what I predicted. That is what I predicted. Well, what you're doing is you're taking the inadequacy and the ineptitude of
your sales staff.
And you're balancing that. And you know something? Oldies ain't going to work. Nothing's going to work.
Right.
What you got to do is you got to get people that can sell it. Fire them, not us.
Well. Did you ever consider calling me, calling somebody at the network, calling somebody at WJFK to say, listen, my salespeople are having trouble selling. Did that ever occur to you? Did you ever do that?
I think we did. I don't know for sure, but...
You are full of I don't knows.
I don't know. I don't know for sure. We're just going to try this, and it could be wrong. It could be,
Listen, it will be wrong.
Well,
it will be wrong. You are a big-time loser. You will be hearing from my agent, who has a big, high-powered attorney, and you are going to be the guys that we make an example out of. You really are, I swear to Jesus Christ. So I hope you've got a good legal team behind you. I hope you've got a good salary, because I'll see your ass in court. That is a promise. You hear me? I'm saying that now. I'm saying that on a CBS-owned radio station. You will see us in court. It's not that easy that you can just decide you want to change your mind. You have a contract with us.
It's one thing to make a change, and it's another thing to do it behind our backs.
You have a contract with us, and I don't care about running the commercials. You don't get out of it like that. So you go back to your general manager and you tell him that.
Okay.
You can tell him to look forward to a certified letter from us next week, like the one that you were planning to send us tomorrow.
Okay.
And you know something? The one last thing I want to tell you here is it's not just us. We have taken more calls from the small town of Sioux City today from good people that dug this show, and you screwed them as well as screwing us. To do something new, and that really is the only reason I heard.
Well,
that and you can't sell the show.
You're not going to believe me. I like your show, too.
Please. Of course. Why would somebody pick us up in Sioux City?
Well, they'll be able to do a better job than we did.
Why would someone pick us up in Sioux City? Why?
Because we have a 20 share?
Because we have a big following there? Because we've proven for the last 5 years that we can garner an audience? Would that be why?
I think so.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Mm.
And furthermore, all these programming ideas here, they blow. Beatles Archives, Fab Four Fridays, Afternoon Trivia Quiz.
Same old stuff.
Are you kidding me? That's an insult, man. That is a true insult. We're doing something that's innovational, something that is avant-garde, something that can be heard on no other station in Sioux City. We've done everything that you have asked us to do, and you're pulling out in the middle of the night like the Baltimore Colts.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we've been loyal to you, you can't just say, well, we wish you good luck, we'll do fine on the
No, station. You know why I can't? Because of the way you handled this. Because you're not man enough to pick up the phone and call me, call my agent, call my network. I got to find out about it from a client.
Well, what if it had gone the other way? What if you guys changed your network and then all of a sudden we're out?
Hold on. You wouldn't have been out. And you, first off, you don't know that. But you wouldn't have been out.
But what if you had?
Well, we sure as hell wouldn't have sent you a letter and waited until you were on vacation because we didn't have the balls to confront you and tell you what the deal is. And it's a moot point, man.
And it really is when it comes right down to it. As regarding the way you did it, it's an issue of balls, isn't it?
I'm sure that's true.
Yeah, well, that's great. I hope you're proud of that.
I'm not.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something, you son of a bitch. I don't ever forget. I never, never, never forget. You're on my list. Your manager's on my list. The station is on my list. I've been in this business since you were a drop down your mom's leg. I will make it. Listen, I don't care what I have to do. I'll make it my goal. If I have to quit my network job to come to Sioux City to do a local show, I will do that to make sure that I beat your ass in the ratings and that you're out of this business. And that's after I sue your ass and win in court for breach of contract. So you better take a good look at that contract this weekend. Take a good long look at it. And then take a good long look at our ratings history. And then take a listen to what you've said on our radio show today. Because I'm taping it and I'm transcribing it.
And then listen to your customers.
Oh, that's the one that he won't do that, Buzz.
Well, they haven't done that, obviously.
We got people saying they've called the station today. People hanging up on them, being rude to them. I hear your phone's ringing off the hook there right now. You're a disgrace, man. You're the Robert Irsay of radio. And it won't stop. Our listeners won't stop calling you.
I had a good thing going here. Had a real good thing going here.
I'm going to have a big party the day that you get fired from KKMA.
Okay.
I mean that, man. I mean that, Dave Rudin. I seriously mean that. And we will be back on in Sioux City. And it will be the Dave Rudin Show every single day.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I wish you guys luck. I hope.
I don't wish you any luck at all.
That's okay.
I wish you no luck at all because you're less than a man.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
You've been just as honest in this phone conversation as you have been with this entire process. Congratulations.
How can you look yourself in the mirror, man? How does it feel to be less than a man? Please answer that. How does it feel to be less than a man?
It feels bad.
Oh, God. I'll forget it.
All right. Listen, my agent's name is Donald Ephraim. So when you see the stationery, Ephraim and Partners, LTD, North Michigan Avenue, Chicago, you'll know that inside will be all the legal papers for you and your general manager and whatever company it is that owns your station. Because you're the guy that we're going to have to make an example out of. Because it ain't going to be that easy, man, to just pull the rug out on us. You just can't do it like that. You can't do it like that. You don't treat people like that. You wouldn't like to be fired with no notice a week before Christmas, would you?
Well, I'm sure that's happened to lots of people.
But you wouldn't like it, would you?
Well, no.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you like to be in the position to do something about it if some rat bastard fired you a week before Christmas with no notice? After you've done an exemplary job for that employer for 5 years. Wouldn't you love to be able to put the screws on him? To take him to court, to sue him. When you had a legal binding contract with him that doesn't run out for over a year. Wouldn't you like that, to be able to do that? Wouldn't that be some vindication if you were fired a week before Christmas?
Guess I don't know.
Oh, a lot of I don't knows, Dave.
You're a piece of work.
Well, it's obvious I don't know. I mean,
you're a piece of work, man. But if I heard you correctly earlier, you said you give a good reference to us to whatever station picks us up
there?
Sure. Okay. Okay, good. All right, well, I'll write you down on our reference sheet then.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Look for our legal action, and I swear to God, I'm not kidding about that. Absolutely not kidding. I throw a lot of money at this problem, man. I hire a lot of lawyers. Lots of big lawyers, all of them Jewish. All right, Dave. Been good talking to you. Happy holidays.
Thanks so much for clearing that up for us, Dave.
Hope Santa's good to you. Thanks for answering all of our questions and being a stand-up guy.
We were certainly confused before this conversation started, and you cleared everything up for us.
Okay.
All right. Merry Christmas. You can hang up now, Dave.
Go answer some of those. I'm sure you want to hang up on some of our listeners that are calling you right now.
Goodbye.
Because that's your way. Have you had enough? Hang up the phone, please.
You want a little more, Dave?
Okay. Yeah.
Dave?
Yes.
We said goodbye.
I was talking to somebody else.
Yeah, right. Well, hang up, please.
Okay. Good night.
Well, that explains that.
I don't get it, man.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
I'll never get it.
It's every time something like this happens, I don't think it can get any worse. I don't think it can get any more insane.
This is the worst ever.
This doesn't make any... No answers.
That's the worst ever.
What I think I heard was a guy who's underneath a guy who's made all these decisions. It didn't sound like he was really behind the decisions that were made, but being, you know, close to Christmas, he wasn't about to say anything.
No, you're giving him too much credit there, Buzz.
No way. I mean, that guy, believe me, you could hear, you know, just read between the lines and hear some of the little subtleties that he had in him. Believe me, he had a lot to do with it.
Yeah. All right.
Lousy, whoever decided it.
Okay. Well, I really meant what I said, and I know you're with me.
Absolutely.
This is going to be the one.
Sure. You know, got to do it sometime.
This is going to be the one.
Mm-hmm.
God knows we've been sued plenty of times ourselves. It'd be nice to turn the tables for a change.
You can't continue to do that. It's just not the way to do business.
I mean, we'll take what that guy said and use it in the lawsuit also.
Sure.
Right? Have we been a success? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have the ratings? Yes.
Amazing.
We've been loyal employees? Yes.
Amazing.
The big answer to everything was, I don't know.
That's what he said. That was the I don't know.
Or you have a point. You have a point.
Unbelievable.
He'd recommend us for another station.
Figure it out.
Happy holidays.
The only reason I heard, we wanted to try something new.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It made no sense at all.
I don't get it.
Welcome to my nightmare, as Alice Cooper said.
Unbelievable. Hey, folks. That's kind of what we'd be doing behind the scenes here, too. You just get a little taste of it.
That's just luck of the draw we got, that son of a bitch. Quick break, and then we'll come right back. Christine tells me that there's a guy from South Dakota.
Oh, South Dakota, yeah.
And she has no friggin' idea what he's trying to talk about.
And that's always interesting.
She said it's some guy that, as far as she can tell, runs some kind of a mink farm.
Oh.
Mink farms in South Dakota, right. Yeah.
And she said he talks just like Fargo.
Hello?
Hello.
So now here we are. Yeah.
Yeah, are you the mink farmer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, are you listening to us in South Dakota?
Yeah.
Yeah, what station you listen on there?
KKMA.
Yeah. Fantastic. And you wanted to call us for what? Yeah.
Oh, for KKMA.
Oh, my name's Max.
Yeah, Max. Congratulations. That's a fine name, Max.
Yeah.
Heck of a name.
Good name.
What?
Hell of a name.
Oh, for name.
Yeah, you guys talk about the internet a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the internet.
Oh, you betcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for Poontang. Is that interesting to you?
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, for Naked Dr. Laura. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, like I was telling you, the internet.
You betcha, yeah.
I heard a lot about it.
Oh, for WWW.
Oh, for porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so you're talking about the internet, are you?
Am I on here?
Yeah. Yeah.
You betcha, yeah.
Yeah, does that help you? Yeah. Is that making you feel good? Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, what can we do you for?
Oh, well.
Why'd you call there, Max? I know you told the blonde lady, Max.
I've been hearing about this thing on the internet that some guys broke in to a mink farm and...
Yeah, I know you were telling
the... Alaska.
Telling the blonde lady about that there, yeah.
Oh, you betcha, yeah. They freed all the minks, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Not all of them.
No, there's probably some still in the
cage. Shot at, you know.
Yeah.
The bullets went up there. Yeah.
Yeah, why are you so concerned about that there, Max?
Oh, not really too concerned about it.
All for minks.
Oh, for the people.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with your phone call there, Max. Yeah. How about the little guy there?
The little guy?
The funny-looking one.
Yeah, lots of little guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All sorts of them.
Go Bears. Chopska, the sore.
Yeah.
Does that help you? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the Marlboro man. He smoked the Marlboros. The little fella.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Then the big fella, then.
Oh, the big fella? No, he don't drink, he don't smoke, he don't do nothing.
Yeah. So listen, Max.
Yeah.
Why'd you call there?
Hmm?
Why'd you call the show there?
Well, a lot of people around here ain't got the internet.
Ain't got the internet.
I'm on radio, though.
So you called to say a lot of people don't have the internet.
Well, you know,
No.
I just thought that, you know, instead of shooting at them, you're around them and not hitting them. I'm just saying, you know.
Shooting at them? Adam who?
Shooting at them.
What? Shooting at them who? Adam who? Adam Sandler? One Adam 12? Adam and Eve? Adam on.
Yeah.
I got two ahead of you there, Mike.
Oh, we're playing the Adam game, talking like Fargo.
Adam Cartwright.
Adam Oates, Adam Graves.
I'm still one ahead of you, I think, though. You made a nice comeback there, though.
Adam Clayton Powell.
Atom and?
I had Adam and.
No. I meant the cartoon guy there.
Oh, that wouldn't be Adam, then.
The little feller.
I ain't going to allow you to cheat. No, that's Adam. A.D. We're doing the A.D. Adam. That'd be atomic bomb, then, if you want to go that way. Atomic bomb right in your crotch, for sure.
Can't be on the air, can we?
Oh, for sing.
Oh, what?
We can't be on the air, can we?
Oh, we're definitely on the air there. I'd be oh so mad if you turned your radio up, though.
Huh?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about your fee? What about your fee?
My fee?
We haven't talked about your fee.
Oh.
Heck of a deal.
They don't stink. I got galoshes on.
No. He said your fee, not your fee.
Not your fee.
Yeah.
Do you like night crawlers? Do you like night crawlers there?
Oh, I love them.
What do you do with them?
Walk them.
Now listen. He normally don't say this. But I'll let you have the sealant for only $500.
Oh. The sealant?
Nah, you're ripping me off here.
No, here.
I seem to get a response. You're ripping me off here.
Now he's turning his radio on.
Oh, Mr. Gunderson, you're a bold-faced liar. That's what you are.
It says he was buying the car. That's a great scene. The guy gets all angry.
Hey, you. Mother, give me my checkbook.
What?
F you, Mr. Gunderson. I just want the effing car. Now, this is my deal here. This is my deal here.
What deal?
I'm not going to muck it up.
I'll fax you over those numbers. Right. I'll have the secretary send the numbers right over to you there.
Okay.
I'm trying to work with you here.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Are you really from South Dakota?
Yeah.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
Don't have one.
What? What was that in the background?
That was my boy.
Your boy. Always dead scared.
Do you mean your son? Do you mean your lover? Do you mean the guy that's tied up in your root cellar?
No, that's my son.
Your son.
You have a son?
Right.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, for shame. Okay, thank you. What did you want to talk to us about?
Well, that was my son that was talking.
That was your son talking?
Right.
Oh, now you're talking.
Right.
What's your son's name?
Max.
And now you're the father getting on the line?
Yeah, he just gave the phone to me.
What's the deal with Max?
Oh, none. He just wanted to call and tell you that the radio station was putting on your show all the way through.
Is Max slow in the head?
No.
No? Max ever run into a parked car?
No.
You know, he said he was, calling to talk something about minks and the internet.
Right.
Do you have any idea?
Yeah, there was a deal on the internet about some people breaking in and...
A heck of a deal.
And,
yeah.
They shot over their head and scared him away.
Right.
And he put on the internet that the next time they come, he wasn't going to shoot over their head anymore.
Yeah.
That's him, not me.
Yeah.
Okay, boys, see you later.
Okay.
For apple doesn't fall from whatever it is.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree there.
Yeah.
I'd like to assuage you on that, Mike.
Yeah.
Deal.
Heck of a deal.
Heck of a deal. Good deal.
Hello.
Hi, is this Anna Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, this is Lori calling from Chaska.
Chaska, yeah. The sewer. Go Bears.
I'm a sewer now from Chaska. I grew up there.
Oh, right near White Bear Lake.
No. White Bear Lake is north of Chaska.
Well, I said right near White Bear Lake.
Right.
Right, yeah. Now, are you just doing the fake accent, or are you really from there?
No, I'm really I live in Virginia now, but I grew up in Saskatoon, you know. It's really a real town.
Why do they call it a sewer?
I don't know.
Oh, good answer. Okay, thank you.
I've never been there.
Well, you know, they call Sioux City... Sewers in Iowa, they call that sewer city because apparently there's a bunch of sewer treatment plants there, and the city smells like Joe's feet, I guess, all the time.
I don't know. I've never been to the sewer, don't you know?
Yeah, okay. Thank you, dear.
Love the show, and go Pack, go.
Yeah. Thanks for your I don't know. Hello, Bobby Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Brad calling from South Dakota.
Yeah, Brad.
Hey, that guy earlier, he's a freak. He's giving us a bad rap.
Oh, yeah.
Yard buddy.
Yeah, for defend the state.
Oh,
yeah, he was giving you a bum rap.
Yeah, all for pride.
Yeah, two words.
All for South Dakota pride.
Illicit drugs with that guy.
Yeah, well, go up and help him find his baseball.
Yeah.
All for Mary.
All for Mary, all for Harry Joe.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yeah.
Hello.
Who is this?
All for stupid. Hello. Don and Mike Show. I answer the phone, Don and Mike Show. We're laughing, and the guy goes, who is this?
Yeah, well, it takes so many to listen to this show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I was wondering if Dennis is going to be at your show tomorrow night.
Dennis Murphy? Yes, he'll be at the Las Vegas Style Show.
All right, so I got to put a face on that picture.
Yeah, it's a lovely face on a lovely picture.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Enjoy.
Take care.
All for Murphy. All for Mona Lisa.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Those Halloween spooks are scaring the hell out of me.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
Sure. All right, can I get some
Hey, guys.
All for radio up too loud there.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going great, thanks.
Good. Hey, Rudy Markey is the Budweiser lizard. I'm convinced of it.
Rudy Markey, the Budweiser, the Ulfer theory.
Oh, yes.
All for Rudy theory.
All for Rudy and the lizard.
Mm-hmm.
Can't convince me otherwise. He is the lizard.
All for subtlety.
All for silence.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hi.
Hey, I want to get out of a big hell yeah for Sewer City.
You call from Sioux City?
Sewer City. Sewer City. The Boiled Bloods.
Oh, that's right. The rendering plants are there.
Oh, that. No, it's not rendering
plants. No, that was in Salt Lake City, Mike, where they had the rendering plant that was by the golf course.
Yeah, I bet. You know what?
I think you're right. Slaughterhouses.
Our fence will compete with that. And beat it.
No, I was saying it's slaughterhouses in Sioux City, right?
And what this guy said is that he would put...
A lot of Mexicans working in them, too.
Oh, come on. I believe he was saying that he would put the smell of Sioux City against the smell of Salt Lake City. All for City Pride.
Oh, City Pride, which is the stinkiest?
Hello, Don Mike.
Yeah, did you guys finish with the name game? You didn't say Adam Chandler.
Do you mean Adam Sandler?
No, Adam Chandler from All My Children. I thought you guys were
Adam Sandler. Lady, I stand corrected.
I think we dub her King of the Atoms based
you
on that
queen,
one.
Yeah.
Please, Queen of the
Atoms. All right, Queen of the Atoms there.
That's right.
Oh, we should have had that one. You know, we stopped playing that game halfway through. We had to come up with that.
I know.
But I'll give that to you there, Queen of the Atoms.
Queen of the Atoms, you know.
Queen of the Atoms apples there.
Ooh, for strong.
Oh, I should have had that Atoms apple. I should have had that
one. Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
All for too little too late. All right, thank
Bye.
You there. Queen of the Atoms.
All for boiled vomit.
Right. It's a marvelous wheel.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 11.
Someone from the world of science on this show.
Science!
However, we are going to have to place a call to this man, the owner of an ice cream parlor in Tucson, Arizona.
Jerry Van Dyke?
No, Mike.
All right.
This man may not be normal, but at least he's not irregular.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to his great new invention, laxative ice cream.
Really?
Yum. His special ice cream is called Gentle Persuasion.
That's a fantastic idea.
Huh? It contains oatmeal and prunes.
Oh, boy, it's nice.
How does it taste? Well, the inside poop says the oats add a pleasant texture.
Sure.
And the prunes give it a rich, rich flavor.
Man, I'd eat it.
Huh?
I would eat a pint of it on the show. Good and good for you.
Would you really?
I would, absolutely.
Really, if I have
impaired... Just those little Häagen-Dazs things.
If I have Federal Express one overnight in dry ice, you need it tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What's that?
I love dry ice.
Is this Eric, please?
Yeah, Van Ness is calling.
Yeah, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We're a national radio show.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
All right, can I find him?
I don't know. Can you?
Well, I'll try. Can you hold on a second?
I don't know. Can we?
I don't know. Are you allowed to?
I don't know. Are we?
Oh, you could be. It is Prune and Oatmeal Ice Cream. Let me find him for you.
Is he close by?
Yeah, he is. Can you hold on?
Can we?
Please.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Eat me. He just hung up on us.
That's Professor Dumbass.
Let me call back and see if we can get the other guy. Can I let him know?
What's the guy's name that invented the ice cream?
Eric.
Sounds yummy. Gentle persuasion. That's the key word, gentle.
A nice name.
I love oatmeal. I love prunes. Well, I don't love prunes, but I like raisins.
Look at his
problem. Oh, I get sized.
Eric.
Yeah, hey, how come you just hung up on us, man?
Oh, no, wait, I didn't. Okay. I gotta go to the other phone.
Okay.
Put it on hold.
All right. Would you get the professor for us, please?
I am. Okay, hold on.
Thank you.
Professor Irwin Corey.
Hello?
Hello, is this Eric?
This is he.
This sounds just like the other guy we were just talking to.
No, this is he. Can I help you?
Did you do one of those things where you just switched hands with the phone and you were the guy we were talking to?
Unfortunately, I'm my own answering machine.
Yeah, I figured as much.
So it was you the whole time?
Oh, yeah. But I had to get out to change phones. I was in the middle of a crowd.
Well, now you're on a very bad phone that's very crackly. Can you go?
Tell you what, if you call right back, I'll call you back, then it won't be crackly.
I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Don't get mad at him. I want my ice cream.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Let me take a call first and then buy you. Yes, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Bobby.
Have they moved Tom Gavin yet?
I don't know.
Tom Gavin should be removed from the
building.
From the upper Mary Todd Lincoln section, he should be moved back to the bar area at the bayou.
No, he's still out there.
All right, well, move him to the back, please. Just place him on a bar stool. He'll be comfortable there. All right, thank you.
He won't move.
All right, bye.
He won't move, they tell him.
See you in a while. You'll come on, move him.
All right, bye. We'll see you soon.
Okay, see you. Bye-bye.
Right.
I need to get like six guys to carry the chair. You bring him over. Slide him onto the bar stool.
All right, they call Professor Eric back now.
Eric, the ice cream man.
Hello?
Eric.
Back.
Don and Mike again.
Hi, sorry about that.
That's okay. All right, this is a great connection. Now, first, let me tell you, sir, you're on the air.
Okay.
Second, you're our inventor of the week.
Oh, really?
We've just heard about your laxative ice cream.
How
popular is your laxative ice cream?
How popular?
Yeah.
Incredible. They're out the door. That's why I had to change phones.
Really? I guess there must be a bunch of old people that live out in Arizona that have problems moving their bowels.
Yeah, everybody from the M states, I states, and O states.
And you're selling a lot of this ice cream?
Unbelievable.
What's in it?
Oatmeal and prunes.
That's it?
That's basically it.
What's that, vanilla ice cream base?
No. It actually tastes just like an oatmeal cookie.
Now, would you sell this to the oldsters that come in like an ice cream cones or between waffle cakes? Would you make a laxative sundae?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
What do you put on top of a laxative sundae?
We put cherries.
Cherries. Lots of hot fudge, Mike.
Awesome.
We even had to come up with what was known as a paperless bathroom.
A what?
Well, we had so many people in here that we came up with what was known as a paperless bathroom.
How could that possibly be?
Well, what we did is we put a computer in it so people would never be far from work. And so we gave the true meaning to a computer dump.
Oh, I understand, but you do have toilet paper in the bathroom, though.
Oh, no.
Now, come on, Eric.
Oh, come on.
You're very difficult to talk to. Come on, Professor. We just wanted to ask you about your laxative ice cream invention.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so you really have a computer terminal in your bathroom?
Right, and we have it's also for a computer whiz.
How do people wipe their buttocks, then, if you don't have toilet paper?
Well, it's easy.
How?
And they use a jet laser.
Come on, is this a goof story?
No, it's a real story.
Is your ice cream real?
What?
Is your ice cream real?
It is absolutely real.
What is the name of your business?
Eric's Ice Cream. I mean, I have a gift certificate sitting on Mars.
You're sitting what?
On Mars.
On Mars? The planet Mars?
On the planet Mars.
Uh-huh. That's where you get your gift certificates?
That's where I sent one.
You sent one, huh?
Uh-huh.
Why would you send a gift certificate to Mars?
Well, in case anybody wanted ice cream, they could come back and claim it.
It went up on the Pathfinder.
I just lost my appetite for the E. coli ice cream.
All right, thank
really
you.
Good.
Thank you, Eric.
It's been prescribed by many doctors.
What?
Okay. Prescribed by doctors.
Listen,
that's what I think of you, okay? We'll see you later.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, you take care of yourself, Eric.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, everybody. He'll be in agony if he keeps trying to wipe himself with a laptop.
No, he's a jet laser.
Oh, jet laser. I'm going to Mars.
Jet laser. It's too bad that didn't pan out. I really wanted you to eat the laxative ice cream.
Yeah, well, I'm on a diet, so maybe it's just as well.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Well, that'd be a great way to force some stuff out of your system.
Yeah, I mean, it's like some people that do the X-Lax experience, but, you know, it's if it's gentle.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing, Don and Mike?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Great. Well, this is the manager down at the Bayou, and we heard all your words about Tom Gavin. We'll make sure he's removed before you get down here.
Now, listen, we don't want him thrown out. We just want to make sure that he's not like where John Wilkes Booth was in relation to Abraham Lincoln.
Exactly. We understand. That's where he is right now, but he will not be there when you get there.
Nice little back bar location might be nice.
Got Dennis Murphy here with me.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Dennis.
I'm in the manager's office.
Hey, way to go. You're getting the job done, huh, Dennis?
Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm a mover and a shaker.
Okay, Dennis.
What?
Why? Well, we just said you're a mover and a shaker.
Okay. Hey, can't wait till you come down. There's about 150 people here, and come on down to the Bayou.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. And Mark's the manager. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
You.
Adios. See
bye
you
bye.
Soon.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Smart man, Dennis Murphy. Yeah, he's our advanced man. It's a new role for him, and it makes me all logy.
Me too. That's why I got conspicuously silent there for a minute.
This is kind of weird, you know. Dennis sitting in the manager's office.
Hi. No green M&Ms. They're doing all the Van Halen stuff for us.
He's the manager.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Yeah.
It's me. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Baldy.
I used to live in Tucson, Arizona, and there is an Eric's ice cream there.
He was a very strange man.
He is a very strange man. My wife used to work for him.
Really?
He was a teenager.
Really?
Have any stories about old Eric?
No, it wasn't that long a tenure, but he is a strange man.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Rob and I are just laughing at the way Christine spelled Tucson.
How did she spell Tucson?
T-U-T-S-O-N. Tucson. Tucson, Ohio.
Or rather, Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson, Arizona. Well, it's a Tucson,
Christine.
Drop dead delicious, Christine Turner. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Now, I've followed the show for maybe a year or two. In fact, I went to Sacramento about a 3-hour drive, a couple of Halloween back, and I love the personalities. That's what makes it so great, or the lack of personalities in some people. But I just don't know the story of Tom Gavin. I don't know if he's some kind of invalid. Or...
He is a monster. That's all you need to know about Tom Gavin. He is a modern-day monster. Okay?
So where did he come from?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know. He came from the belly of a monster. How am I supposed to know?
He was born in a vat of Eric's ice cream.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy. Hey, I'd like to bend you over to the kitchen sink and have my way with you if I could.
Which individual would you be speaking to, sir?
Don.
What was that? Let me hear the offer again, please.
I'd like to bend you over to the kitchen sink and have my way with you.
You'd like to bend me over and what?
Have my way with you.
Have your way with me?
Yeah, give you a little third input.
He wants to have sex with you, Don.
Sure. Why don't you give me your phone number and I'll call you back?
666-6666.
Okay, you know what? Let me just,
702-6-6-9.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, I got just enough there.
There you go.
Thanks.
This number.
I'll call your mommy back later tonight.
Why? Hang up now.
And tell her that her son would like to have anal sex with America's favorite disc jockey.
There you go.
She'll be very proud. See how you
I
like
take
that.
It you were irritated at that call. That you didn't consider it a call of love.
No, it was not a true offer of homosexual sex, Mike. It was a young man simply trying to work me. And not work me the right way. Now, there was a serious offer, mind
that'd
you.
That'd be a different story.
Well, then perhaps I would consider his offer.
Yes, it was that young way he had of speaking. If it was an older guy calling, I really would like to bend you over the kitchen sink.
Did I get up?
Flip a coin, let you know.
Hello, Donald Mike Show.
Hey, how are Mike's feet today?
My feet?
Yeah.
My feet are wonderful today.
I'll tell you something about his feet. He's wearing a pair of, like, village people work boots today, so they got to be hot in there.
No, actually, they're very cool, because my feet do not perspire, as we discussed earlier on the show. These are desert-like boots that don't cause a lot of overheating.
But they're lovely feet, right?
Those feet are drop-dead delicious.
Thank you, Rob.
And I'll rub it tomorrow at 2:30.
Yes, Rob will be rubbing them tomorrow at 2:30.
Did you know that? Did you know that Mike makes Rob rub his feet once a week before the show?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's wonderful. He does a great job, especially between the toes.
Hello, John. Mike.
Hello?
And then right after that, I get my neck rub, which is sometimes I go home and say, boy, what...
Oh, your hair smells off. I want in on this. Well, what would you like, Rob?
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Hello.
Feet to neck.
Uh-huh.
Mm, hello.
You figure it out.
Hello there.
Hello.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Hey, I'm going to ask you guys a question if I could.
What?
I don't want to be perverted about this or anything, but I was wondering whether or not you guys have ever, or do you ever frequently take showers with your wives?
No, I don't. Do you, Mike? Not frequently, but I have. I would say, definitely, once every year. Once or twice every year, probably. There's some circumstance that we'll hop in the shower. It's fun.
Yeah, okay. Well, the reason I was asking is...
I'm taking a shower with Buzz's wife.
Haven't you taken a shower with Buzz's wife, Mike?
I took a shower with Buzz's wife when you were in there.
How about you, Rob? Are you taking a shower with Buzz's wife?
I took a shower with Buzz.
All right, well, back to that.
Well, it's obviously all over the place, sir.
Who was that, Mike? Is that you showered with your wife?
Yes, I have.
Do you ever let her, watch crack or anything?
No.
No?
Okay. No, I don't.
Buzz is one of
you. My wife, sick human being. You take a beautiful moment like a shower, and then it's immediately... That's the first thing, because I want it to be a wonderful experience, and I want to really turn her on. So the first thing I say is, wash my crack.
God, that is sick. Mm-hmm. We get no serious calls on this show.
We don't.
I can't get a man propositioning me who's serious, and you can't get a man asking you about taking a shower with your wife who's serious.
It's a beautiful moment.
Well, I can't say that name sometimes without clouding up. I love him as much as any man in the world. And he's an artist, and he's funny, and he's the second best guitar player in the world.
Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
We got, sad to say, I look up on the screen here, I see no women calling yet.
Oh, no, because we want to hear a song with the plays.
For the Body Music Fest. Now, we had a gazillion guys calling and saying that they could play their hands. So, hold on a second, Doc. There is a woman online.
Hi.
There is a woman. Her name is Danny. That's a woman.
Danny?
Really?
That's a tramp woman.
From Las Vegas. Hello, Danny.
Hello, Danny.
Hello, Don and Mike.
What are you, Daddy's Jack?
Yeah. Whenever I hear Danny, I always say that. Danny, would you like to mow my lawn?
Danny, thank you for listening to the show on 105.1 KBBC. Danny?
Yes, sir.
For the Body Music Festival. And we have $100 of Benjamin for the winner today.
Really?
Are you going to play a song with your place?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
I can actually play. When I stick a straw in my armpit and clamp my arm against my side, I can play
Hold on a second, Danny. I'm sure you're very good at that, and we'd love to hear that, but you're not familiar with what we refer to as your place.
It takes a lot of odd positioning to do that for me.
Danny?
Yes.
You see, your place is not your armpit.
It's south of your armpit.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Please listen to this tape. Let me just straighten this out for anybody that's listening right now.
Uh-huh.
I know we just heard a Jerry Lewis tape. We're going to hear another tape now of Jerry Lewis during the telephone.
And for Danny, I emphasize the word listen to this tape.
There you go, Danny. Listen up now.
You're sitting on my speaker.
Now, that's why I don't hear you.
Here is our pal, Al Whitehead.
Thank you. Don't say nothing yet, Al. 1 second.
This way.
Give me a wide shot.
Here's the important stuff.
Here in this area. Mr. Whitehead will wait just a moment. Give me a wide shot here showing what I have here, okay? You see what we have here? We have a monitor so that I can see the people that are coming up to talk to me. Alongside of the monitor, notwithstanding the hours that I have to be aware of, we have this large speaker. This speaker helps me hear the people that I'm conferring with. Now, over here, we have a stage manager. This young lady has been sitting on the speaker, and I'm wondering why I can't hear the people talking to me.
Well,
it's because they're talking through her legs and up her place. Would you...
Okay.
Danny, did you get that, Danny?
Yeah. Yes, I got that.
So they're talking through her legs and up her place.
So when we said, you know, we were hoping you'd play a song with your place, we weren't.
I can't play a song with that place, but I can also play Rehab the Lamp underneath my breath.
Okay. Well, that's terrific.
That's a good place also.
That's great. You can play Mary Had a Little Lamb underneath your breast?
Yes.
And how will you be doing this, Danny?
I'm going to be doing it topless with a straw.
Oh, Danny.
Oh, Danny. Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
I've been told it was a cross between Meg Ryan and Gina Davis.
Excellent.
Baby.
The
song just improved right there.
So that means you're Amazon, but somewhat feminine also.
Yes.
See, what I'm guessing is that you have the tall, at least my fantasy goes that you're tall and kind of lean like Gina Davis, but you'd also be feminine like Meg Ryan.
There you go. All right. So you're going to be playing your breasts?
Yes, as soon as I get the straw position.
Is the straw position crucial?
Hello?
Hey.
What's going on, guys?
We're just getting ready for the topless bare butt slap off.
I know, and I'm really enthused. That first slap off was just terrific. Mm-hmm. But I think to really get the full feeling of what's going on.
Only years, and I can remember, but I asked him this day to please open the show for me and give me some of that marvelous glitz that he's known for and the showmanship that's made him a legend in his own time. And I said, please come and finish it for me. And he has agreed to do that, and you are lucky that he's here. Mr. Wayne Newton, ladies and gentlemen. I've been watching. Not only did I have the pleasure of being asked to open the telethon, but I've been watching it most of the night, except when I was on stage myself at the stands. And it occurred to me, knowing the beating that this man takes every year, being here all these hours, in addition to the wonderful press that he has to put up with throughout the year, I picked two songs that we dedicate to the man here. And most of the time we dedicate these songs to you. But I think you kind of fit in, too. We hope you agree. For you, my friend.
Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Joining us now, let's welcome our big guest for today's show.
Yes.
Dr. Germs. Dr. Germs.
How you guys doing?
Hey, Dr. Germs.
What's happening?
I understand that you listen to the show up in Maine?
We do. WZAN 970.
Beautiful.
All the time, my vice president of sales is stuck to the radio.
Yeah, no wonder a guy like Dr. Germs lives in the great state of Maine. You got a lot of open spaces out there. A lot of places you can go that are probably germ-free, right?
I see. It's not as busy as it used to be. There's so darn many tourists up here that you see a lot of germs where people kind of congregate, and that's a problem.
Okay. What are you here to plug today, Dr. Germs?
What am I here to plug?
Yeah.
Well, we want to talk a little bit about why people get sick. And we were talking about the theater seats, you know? You ever been on those nasty theater seats?
Oh, man, yeah.
That's what we want to talk about.
All right. Let's talk about that.
Movie theater nightmares. Okay, sure. Here's what your press release said.
Right. You know, I think I've heard of your work before. Aren't movie theater seats the foulest things known to mankind? Isn't that like the worst gathering place for germs that anyone can, go to?
It's pretty nasty, but it's not as nasty as doorknobs and bathrooms. We can talk about that. Those public restroom doorknobs, you know?
Now, let's just talk about movie theaters.
Well, we'll talk about the movie theaters.
Because everybody goes, I think people know that if you go to a bathroom, you're going to get a bunch of gross germs there. If you touch a candy bowl in a restaurant, you're going to get gross germs. Let's start off with this, Dr. Germs. When you're sitting down in a movie theater to see, say the theater's about, 15 years old, and you're sitting on one of those soft cushions, is there any fecal matter there?
You bet.
Oh,
you bet. One of the things that we did was we went and cultured a whole bunch of movie theater seats.
That had to be a fun job.
Well, it was. It was really stinky.
But
I gotta tell you this, we found so many different types of fecal bacteria on those seats. And we just caked up. Now, the problem is these germs live for a long period of time.
You are, and I hate to be specific, but I must.
Please do.
When you get there, when you say we found so many different kinds, does that mean you can tell by your little experiment that there are many different sources of that fecal material?
Oh, of course.
Oh, my God.
Of course. Well, you know, one of the things...
Why would it get there? Is it from people passing gas?
Absolutely. And that's the only thing we could ever come up with is the reason why there's so much on. Unless guys go to, you know, ladies don't wear underwear or something, but I doubt that.
Or it could be on their pants.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. What? It depends on the type of theater you go into. You don't want to X-ray the theater. You're going to find a lot more than just medical material.
Now, is this limited just to older theaters, or like if you're going to one of the new multiplexes, will you find fecal matter on the seats in there too?
Oh, absolutely. Any place a lot of people go, and you go into the multiplexes, I mean, they just run lots of different movies all the time, and so you see lots of different people sitting in those seats, and they're always passing gas for some reason.
All right, now, what's the danger of sitting down on a chair where like 100 guys have farted before you?
Well, think about it. First of all, these bacteria live for long periods of time. They can live for a year on those seats.
A year? So some guy breaks wind into a chair, and that, like, fecal matter is going to be alive and germinating for a year?
You could be picking up stuff from December in July.
Oh, that is so gross.
Well, think about it. You go into the movie theater.
Right.
You grab the seat because the seat's on a spring, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's, you know, in the up position. So you push it down with your hand. Now your hand has touched that seat.
Oh, and then you reach it. Then you reach it to get popcorn.
That's it.
And then the next thing you know.
Or you hold your date's hand and she sticks it in the popcorn. She sticks her hand in the mouth. Now she's got everything from the seat on her hand in her mouth.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's one big change. It keeps going on and on and on.
Can it make you really, really sick as far as, like, if it's been around for a year and you do? So, let's just say an example, like putting the seat down. Can that immediately affect your health?
Probably not immediately, but it will affect eventually. You know, if you ingest enough of these organisms into your body and they start growing in your stomach, you end up with some type of food poisoning, because that's basically what fecal material does.
All right, Dr. Jones, next topic. What's on the armrest that you've been touching in the movie theater?
The same thing that's on the seat, because you push the seat down, you sit down, you put your hand on the armrest.
So there's poopies on the armrest.
Poopies on the armrest. There's poopies on the seat in front of you. And there's probably poopies on the floor, and you put your feet on the seat in front of you, so there's stuff on the seat in front of you.
Jesus. Any precautions we can take?
Just make sure that you keep the germs off your hands.
Friend videos. The hands are really the source of where germs come into your body more than anything else, right?
Absolutely. We know that 85% of all the infections you get are picked up by your hands. I mean, just think about it. Your hands touch just about everything. And if you think about all the places your hands were today, they'd be in some pretty nasty places.
My hands have been in some very nasty places, I guess.
Sure.
Certainly have, first thing this morning.
You touch your mouth, nose, eyes, and ears.
And worse.
Introduce bacteria into your body, and strong ones, you're going to become sick. So the key is to keep the germs off your hands. Now, you know, washing your hands with soap and water is not enough anymore.
Really?
Because we used to be able to use antibiotics as a way to cure a lot of infections, but so many germs are now resistant to antibiotics that we have to be careful that we don't pick up these infections because we may not be able to be treated.
So you need the antibacterial soap.
Well, you want to know something? You know the stuff you buy in the store?
Yeah.
Dial, soft soap, all those guys. They contain an active ingredient called triclosan, and they just recently discovered that many organisms are resistant to the triclosan because it's such a poor antibacterial.
Oh, my God! All right, nice question. Wait, I want to buy it. Is there anything we can buy to that's safe?
I never thought you'd ask.
All right.
Well, actually, you know, we worked on a system a number of years ago called the Microsan system. And the Microsan system was designed to do two things. It was to kill bacteria and viruses very, very quickly. And number two, give you some long-term protection so that any of the things that you picked up...
Come on, what's the answer, Dr. Germs? You bore me when you're not talking about poopies.
Well, think of it this way. You have the Microsan system on your hands, the soap and the lotion you do before breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can touch all the poopies you want, and all that stuff will die in your hands.
That's why you're here, isn't it?
Before you get a chance to infect yourself.
So is that what he's selling? Is that what you're selling?
You have the Microsan system.
Ah, that's what I asked you right up front what you were selling. You said really nothing.
I know. But I try to, you know, I don't like to be commercial. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Why else would we have you on the show? Come on. We like naked, honest merchandising. Go right ahead. I just give you your commercial right up front, and then we can talk, like, about the poopies and what's in the popcorn and why the floor is sticky.
Well, here's the point. The point is, if you use the Microsan system, you're going to stay healthy. Now, have you guys been sick this winter yet?
Constantly.
Constantly. You know why?
Because of poopies.
Because you're picking up the germs on your hands. If you use the system, you won't get sick. I haven't been sick in 4 years.
Are you? You know, I have always heard that you know, if you constantly wash your hands or you do that type of thing, because all the germs come in your hands, that you're not going to get sick. And I never really bought it because, I mean, I wash my hands a lot and I still get sick.
Just because the germs don't die. You need
I feel like I'm, like, helping you sell your product, but, I mean, I really do believe that. You haven't been sick in 4 years using this stuff?
I haven't been sick in 4 years. We have professional sports teams using it, trying to keep their players healthy. you have CEOs of Fortune 500 companies.
You think there's a chance I get sick easily and Remini's booger?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
All right, what's really in the popcorn, Dr. Germs?
What's in the popcorn is everything that was on your hands. If you went to the bathroom, for example,
okay,
you didn't wash your hands, okay?
It's happened.
You grabbed that nasty doorknob on the way out. Now you got everything on the doorknob, from the doorknob on your hands. It was, and that doorknob was last touched by somebody who probably didn't wash their hands. Now you come out and you stick your hand in the popcorn. Now you got everything that's on your hands in that popcorn.
I'm getting nauseous.
And if you're a guy, you were probably sitting there in front of the urinal getting all the splashback on your hands. All right?
Oh, yeah.
So now you got splashback in your popcorn.
And it's not like your own splashback.
No, it could be a lot of other splashbacks. And you don't know how good that splashback was. I mean, how clean it was.
Well, let's figure. Who's got a good splashback? No one, right?
Actually, Bill Clinton probably doesn't have a good splashback.
And the big long urinals are even more dangerous. You know?
Yeah, they probably are. How about the ladies? The ladies have to sit and figure out whether or not they're going to sit or hover on those seats.
Yeah, most of them sit, I think, probably, right? They know.
Actually, most of them, I've done a survey, most of them hover.
Most of them hover above the toilet.
Absolutely, because if you don't hover, what happens is you pick up things on the seat left behind by the hovers who have terrible aim.
Okay, and finally, why is the floor so sticky, Dr. Germs?
The floor is so sticky because people drop soda pop on it, I guess.
Now, when somebody's at, when you're in, like, one of those airport bathrooms, which really, to me, are some of the worst bathrooms. I go in there and I just roll up a big ball of toilet paper and I clean the toilet seat, but then I don't put the little sanitation thing down. Am I doing myself any good at all?
Probably not. You should put a layer of toilet paper down just to be careful you don't slide off somehow.
I just don't care.
Actually,
that's why I don't wash. I go to the bathroom anywhere. I'll eat anything anybody gives me. I'm constantly licking my fingers.
Have you been on an airplane lately?
Scratching up. Constantly on airplanes.
I'll tell you something. If you want to get sick, get on an airplane. And by the way, don't use the pillows and the blankets on airplanes.
Oh, why?
Because they never clean them.
Oh, that is so gross. Why would I ever do that?
If you talk to, by the way, I got to tell you a funny story. I was flying from Los Angeles to California with my wife. We're in the middle of the country somewhere, and my wife's also a microbiologist, and we're sitting there, and I put down my tray table. She says to me, Bob, I wonder what's growing on that tray table. So I took out my little culture stick. I said, it's real. And I talked to the tray table, and we found tuberculosis on that tray table.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, it's there. Somebody before me had an active case of tuberculosis and was coughing into their hands. And
even if they give you, like, a blanket that's in one of those little plastic bags.
Yeah, they don't clean them, though. They just put them back in the plastic bag.
That is amazing. You know, and it makes sense, too, when you think about the air travel. What do? One plane, you know, they disembark and then they get on, and 5 minutes later they bring a bunch of other people.
They never disinfect them.
All right.
Other things you should watch out for. You should be careful, like, for example, those candy by the cash register.
Yeah.
Don't ever eat the candies.
All right, Dr. Jones, thank you again. What are you plugging? What's your soap?
The Microsan system. I'm going to give you my 800 number for those people that like to have some more information or order the system. It's 1-800-310 and the word germ, G-E-R-M, or 1-800-310-4376. We have lots of infection control products.
Send us some free samples. We desperately need it here.
I will. And you got to watch out for the overnight guy. Those guys are really nasty.
And the weekenders. Thank you, Dr. Germs.
Thanks, Donna Mike.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Man.
All right. It was funny about the movie theaters. They started talking about airplanes. I mean, how many times? I've gotten off airplanes so many times and gotten sick on airplanes.
Yeah, well, you had to know that. That's just a place for germs to store.
Just when he put it, you know, crystallized.
And to get together.
Tuberculosis on the tray.
Did you see that commercial during the football game yesterday for the germs?
With George C. Scott.
Oh, that's a great commercial.
Unbelievable that they, you know. Wasn't he the guy? Didn't he, like, turn down an Academy Award or something like that?
That was Marlon Brando, I think.
All right. I think George C. Scott did.
He might have turned one down also.
But it kind of indicated to me, you know, when I see a guy doing a commercial like that,
he needs
like
money.
Money time, you know.
George C. Scott, like, wearing the Snoopy and the Red Baron pilot glasses.
Jump on the remote.
I think he turned down an award for patent.
Yeah, right.
That's the one he turned it down
for. Exactly right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, well, those standards are out the window now. He's doing a commercial presented as he's leader of a bunch of germs.
I know.
And are trying to stomp down on the power button on a remote control so they can watch HBO.
And then the cleaning lady kills them all.
Hello?
Hey, Don.
Bobby.
Hey, I got this theory. I wanted to ask that guy, but maybe you guys can answer it for me.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is kind of going to gross you out, but see, I have this running battle with my wife because I never get sick and she always does.
Yeah.
And I tell her the reason I don't get sick is because I'm a nail biter. I'm like a nervous guy. So I've been biting my nails for like the last, I don't know, since I was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I think that I've built up a resistance to these germs.
Do you think that's a valid theory, or you think
that is so gross?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so at all. That is gross.
Hello, Don and my show.
I was thinking he was going the other direction because his nails are so short that it doesn't get the gook under him and stuff like that.
My nails grow.
My nails grow.
Hello, what?
Hi, I'm calling from Rochester right now.
Hi.
And I'm aware that they occasionally play your show on a 1 hour delay.
They do every day.
They do every day?
Every day.
It appears right now that they're playing your show at a faster rate, and it sounds like Don and Mike are on helium.
All right, thank you for the tip.
Okay.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
All it takes is one bad tape machine.
We'll get right on that. Hello.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hello.
Good. Hey, did you guys see the celebrity tribute to Arnold Schwarzenegger last night on TNT?
On what?
TNT.
TNT, no. Sure didn't.
Must have missed that.
You missed the...
The City Fathers.
They have a special tribute to his favorite body part.
The ass.
They had a... Those two guys with something about Mary that were sitting in a tree singing songs in that movie.
Yeah.
They created their own song for Arnold. They had a bunch of outtakes from some of his former movies. He couldn't even speak. They had voiceovers on one of his, like they do in the Oriental movies.
That's funny.
Yeah. No, you mean like in the Hercules movies, right?
Exactly.
Because he was so bad, they had to throw subtitles in there.
Hello, Dynamite.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys, with the fecal matter, think about a bowling ball. The
whole
of a bowling ball.
You start thinking about it and the possibility.
Oh.
A bowling ball is probably one of the worst things you could touch.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
After Dr. Jones gave his little talk, I was wondering if from now on if the movie man Charlie South was going to have to sit in Buzz's room.
Yeah, Charlie's probably a prime violator of all of those things that Dr. Jones was telling us.
He's a walking culture.
Thank you, my friend.
Uh-huh.
Gotta go, we'll be
right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is Sports 11.4.
Man.
A lot of those cartoon guys.
Arr, up and at them.
Well, listen, Lori, you're in.
All right.
You're in. Beautiful. We will see you Thursday.
All right.
All right, hold on a second.
Wear a Pocahontas outfit.
Yeah, please, yeah, wear some of your Indian clothes.
I'll try.
Okay, hold on, please, Lori.
Hold on.
Cool.
Well, that makes one, two, three, four.
Four down already.
That's right. I'm not going to start gloating or anything
that.
I'm not.
Don't. It's
I'm
not becoming to gloat.
I know it's not.
It's not.
It won't.
Be a good winner, Mike.
I will be a good winner. Like you've always taught me.
We have four down and three to go. Yes, take a lesson from me.
I will. I try. You know, I try. It's what I strive for, to be a good winner.
Right. You know me, even keeled. Same reaction whether I lose or if I win.
That's great.
All right. Yeah, I don't do any victory dances.
No victory dances.
Never.
Not at all.
That's four girls down and three to go.
Yeah.
For a Thursday's big episode of Strip Trivia. We still don't know where Murphy is. All right. Well, let's do a break, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
To escape the city is on, and motorists race to beat the tangle of traffic found around the Bay Bridge at the start of every Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, it's okay, so you're just stinking bridge. Eight lanes and you still got a way.
Toll booths look like starting lines as city residents make their way towards Sun and Surf. Some motorists say heading out a little early paid off.
Excuse me, Minneapolis, you can't get through there after about 4 o'clock. We thought if we hit a little earlier, we'd make it without getting too much traffic. It looks okay.
And local radio personalities Don and Mike sent an emissary to provide motorists with a little entertainment.
Look at me! I'm Robbie! Happy Memorial Day, ma'am! Have a good one!
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free at 1-800-636-1067. They're ready to believe you.
And next story is kind of a sports story as well. Yesterday, Don and Mike, those local radio stars, held the finals of their Redskins banner contest in Springfield. Now, the idea was they originally wanted this contest to be held Monday night at the NFL game on Monday Night Football, but apparently not enough of the banners actually made it on the air, so they moved it to Springfield. The winner turned out to be a guy who had a 65-foot banner displayed from a crane, and for his work, he won $1,000. In fact, everybody who showed up with a banner wound up getting $50. Did we see the banner? We never saw the banner. As it turns out, we never get to see the banner, so,
wow.
But we get to see Don and Mike. A lot of Don and Mike. Somebody won't tell me the world is...
They put test
Popsicle on Bob Barker's Rip.
Right, Don and Mike. Sure did.
Just remembering something. You know, the one thing I forgot to tell you about Las Vegas, you know who I saw doing the weather on the tube out there?
Who?
Do you remember that guy, Mark Fister? Fister in Vegas. Mark Fister, the local weather guy out in Las Vegas.
We always had predicted big things for him based on his name. You know,
Fister, I hardly know her.
Yeah, it was like
P-H-I-S, it would say Fister's P-H, forecast P-H.
They never thought about the science.
Fister,
sure.
Right.
Fister, we're a forecast.
You know, Fister, right. Fister,
you know, I mean, Fister.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Bobby.
I'm down here in Ocean City, Maryland.
Yes.
We miss you guys down here. Can't pick you up too good. We picked you up on the 1300.
Yeah, I think we're going to be back in Ocean City sometime this summer when we get our new deal. We got a station that's hot to get us on down there, but we have to wait until we get our new syndication deal together.
Mm-hmm. Great deal. So you guys think you might do a live broadcast down here this year?
I don't know. Why don't you just worry about getting the show back on a radio station down there? First things first.
I've been calling around.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I want to talk to Don and Mike. I want to figure out who won, whether Jesse Ventura or the Landon boys.
That's a good question, Buzz.
I have the answer.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Buzz's first chance today to say, I don't know.
No.
All right, Buzz, in the ratings war on Sunday night...
Sunday?
Of course, what?
They won't come out till Sunday, they said?
No, no, the ratings war that was on Sunday night.
Right.
Why don't you just listen?
Okay.
I'll start in the middle. In second place with 17.4 million viewers, Cleopatra. At the bottom. No, I'll do the top one next. 17.5 million people watched The Father I Knew. So Michael Landon beat Cleopatra.
Yeah!
And Jesse Ventura, who only got 8.5 million viewers, about half what the other shows got.
There you go.
What'd I tell you?
That's right.
Okay, Buzz, so I get my ass kicked.
Yeah, yes, do we have our finger on the pulse? Are you the guy that called us and called us pussies for watching the Michael Landon story?
Yeah, pretty much.
We proved you wrong.
Yeah,
listen to me. It's a country full of pussies.
That's right.
There's 17 million pussies that watch Michael Landon, only 8 million idiots that watch the Jesse Ventura story.
We salute our fellow pussies.
How are your radios?
Moron. Yeah, he's a wrestling fan.
Thank you for the info, Buzz.
Certainly.
Thank you. Chip into Buzz Burbank, Esquire.
It's nice to know. Sometimes it's nice to know when you log on in with one of those pathetic TV movies that everybody else is watching it with you.
Come on. That wasn't going out on a limb. That was a great show. Michael Landon being an awful father, screwing around on his wife.
I think, you look for John Schneider to get the Emmy Award for that.
That was a guaranteed home run. Anytime you put on a show about a dead guy that was an awful father, you're going to get big ratings.
Cleopatra, a close second was the nippleage, as we heard yesterday.
Hello, Don Mike.
Bodies.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Mike, did you recognize the guy at the fight in the Admiral uniform sitting just a couple of rows back?
I was very close to that guy after the fight. In fact, at the party we went to, I was standing right next to him. Who is that guy?
That's what I want to know. He got a lot of airtime.
Was he just some guy wearing like a sailor suit or something?
A guy that had an Admiral's hat on and, kind of a Nehru jacket deal. A black guy that was wearing he had a medallion on and he had the Admiral hat and he was at the post-fight party. But
he a rapper?
I'm not sure who he was. When I went out,
that sounds like maybe an oven a wrapper. Where did he have that the hat with the scrambled eggs on
it
and stuff?
Yes.
Did he have a Mercedes hood emblem around his neck?
Yes.
Probably a rap star then.
I don't know which one. He was a little long in the tooth to be a modern day rapper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was. He was a little older than your average rapper, I believe.
Oh, well, then maybe he wasn't a rapper.
I'm not sure who he was, but he was very. You know, when you come in with that hat, you get that big navy hat on. You can't help but stare at the guy. But I didn't put two and two together on that.
Was he hanging with the celebrities?
Well, I mean, he was hanging with some people. I didn't see him around any celebrities. But in this room at the House of Blues, there were a lot of celebrities walking around. But I didn't see him with anybody. But he looked like a celebrity just because he was wearing that goofy outfit.
All right, thank you.
All
right. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, they talking about my dad right now. Let me get on.
Was that your dad? Your dad's the black guy that had the Admiral suit on?
Yeah, he's a black rapper.
Oh, come on, he's not your dad.
Come on, man.
No, come on, man. Keep it real. It's not your dad.
I keep it real.
It's not your pops.
Come on, man. You guys got to keep it real. Let me go.
Come on, I got nothing but love for you. You're on the radio, you idiot.
Come on, Donnie.
You're on the radio.
What's your dad's name?
My dad?
Yeah, the dad you're talking about.
Actually, his name is Mr. Geronimo.
I am not your father's son.
Donna, you 100%, you know, you always say you have to be 100% sure.
All right.
You used to be black, remember?
Yes, I used to be black until I dyed my skin.